time via the apps and on demand. This is Proper Sport. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
It's that time of week again, 2 hours live rugby league debate here on Proper Sport. We're looking forward to another busy weekend of rugby league action, but we're going to look back at Super League round five. Saints unbeaten, 5 from 5 for them. Wakefield beaten by a pretty impressive Wigan yesterday. Leeds, Castleford win again. New deal for Danny Brough. Be interested to know what you think about that. New 12-month extension to his Huddersfield Giants contract. Our man Ollie Holmes is up before the beak tomorrow night. He's been a very naughty boy against Salford, so we'll see what the outcome of that one is. Big wins in the Championship for Toulouse, Featherstone. Halifax beat beleaguered Lee. Boy, oh boy, they're in trouble now. And what about the Broncos? Go on, the boys. 68-12 winners over the Bulldogs. I've had a lot of tweets telling me to remind Gary that London are 5 from 5, top of the table with a game in hand as well, so well done to them. Big win as well for Rochdale over Barrow, and the Wolfpack winning well at Sheffield. We'll have a look as well at League One, where there was a big win for the Bradford Bulls, and Aaron Bauer, one of our regular contributors, has asked Gary Schofield, is the curry going to be delivered, or will he have to go to the restaurant here? Gary had a side bet. Sadly, his mouth was bigger than the ability of his Keithley Cougars players on Sunday. Get in touch as ever at RL on our Y. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, you can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Lots and lots going on, lots to discuss. We're yet again this weekend. Where will you let us know? Warrington. They're going to be in the bottom four. I've got a sneaking feeling they are. No doubt Scoy will be getting ripped into that. He's here. As ever, it's been a busy week for Phil preparing the latest edition of the 4020 magazine. He's with us as well, as is Richard Shawright, who might just have cancelled that open-top bus parade for Wakefield, given that they lost for the first time this week. All that and more, it is Rugby League on Proper Sport. It's Mark, Gary, Phil and Richard with you through until 8 o'clock. I just pressed the button there, something was supposed to play, but it hadn't worked, so I've broken it. Gary, are you well?
Oh, just recovering from yesterday, mate, to be honest with you.
What, you have a few pints?
No, I was on my best behaviour yesterday because we had a packed house, certainly in the hospitality suite there down at the Cougars, and as I say, the crowd itself to short 3,000, but the disappointing thing, Mark, and I've got to be open and honest, you know, we didn't compete. Even, you know, Bradford, overall, a better side, you would say that on paper, but big derby, you know, you want to compete from there, but 54-6, we were never at the races. They were far too good, far too skillful, far too strong and big, but still doesn't stop you competing and being in the game, being in the contest, and we never did that, you know. So after the game, it was a dampener, but overall, the success from a point of view where the sponsors supported us very well, the hospitality was very, very good, and as I say, but the main event, it's a rugby league, and unfortunately, we didn't compete.
Speaking of hospitality, Aaron, are you going to deliver his curry for him?
You'd
have a bet with him. Yes. He gave you 20 start.
He gave me 20 point start, yes. And after 25 minutes, I guess he would have been. I think he's all of the chicky booner, so there's a good deal on it.
Extra chapatis.
There's a good deal at Asda. So for his chicky booner, his pillar rice, and his two chapatis, it's going to cost a legend a fiver, and that will be delivered on Wednesday when we see him on Wednesday.
Very good. Phil, are you well? Busy weekend for you, good. As ever, putting the magazine together. How have you been?
Yeah, it's been good. I think both sides of the world now are up and running. I watched a bit of the NRL kick-off and just interested that the bottom four teams from 2017 all had victories in week one in 2018, and that's when a tournament gets really exciting, that you genuinely don't know who are going to be the front runners this year. Super League starting to settle down. I think probably after 5 games for most, 6 for some of them, we can start drawing some generalisations. Important for Catalan that they got off the mark in what was an ugly game, but a compelling one to watch. They did what they had to do. I think, again, Leeds pretty remorseless in grinding down Hull, who didn't start well. And Saints now out on their own. And I think the way we saw them play against Warrington on Friday night, whatever the conditions, whoever the opposition, they've got the ammunition to look really, really hot at the moment.
Very good, very good. I know Sid, one of our regular listeners, has been mourning on about referees again this week. I didn't see the Hull KR game. It's one of the few games this weekend I haven't watched. I understand there was a throwing the ball at the man incident. There was one on Sunday. Dirty Wakefield did it on Sunday. Tyler Randall, he was the most obvious one in the world.
Australians.
He gets the ball, right, he turns round and he's thinking, I've got no one to pass it to. And Sean O'Loughlin was like stood there with his hands on it and he just went, no, threw it. He just threw it out. It was awful. Got a penalty, well, kicked the penalty, and then right at the end, Wigan did exactly the same. But the trouble is, you do it once, then it's open season.
The question is, why did he get the penalty? I thought we'd had an understanding that
it's not allowed, is it?
Well, look, I mean,
should have reversed the penalty.
The neutral in me would have liked to have seen Wakefield win yesterday, but they didn't, and they didn't deserve to. I just thought Wigan were the better team, but I was unhappy about that.
Just reverse the penalty. If a player's going to throw the ball into the opposition in ungentlemanly circumstances, the penalty.
It was number 10 on his list of options, he thought. I'll pass it to him. No, can't pass it to him. What about that side? No.
So this weekend then, we've had three instances of that, whereas last year we had, and it was stamped out. Why are we letting it come back into the game? It needs stomping out. It needs doing.
Well,
it does. It's cheating.
And also the spurious obstruction has crept back in again. We saw one at Headingley on Thursday night.
Hull were desperately unlucky
to have that ruled off, I thought.
Yeah, because he did it at Ulkiari as well, you know. He's getting a master, isn't he?
Does the need... Do we need a common sense interpretation on that rule? Because by the letter of the law, it's right.
Yeah.
But the facts are, Usain Bolt wouldn't have got over at the corner and made a tackle, let alone Carl Ablett, you know, and master of skullduggery, Mr. Ablett.
Well, it is, and first of all, it's a bit of a mystery defensive-wise, and he's thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I know this dummy runner's coming through here, I'm going to get nowhere near the ball, and I'm going to make sure that he's obstructing me. So it's an art, what he's done, and, you know, surely these people who watch the games on a Monday when they do all the remits and whatever, they should be saying, yeah, we'll be sending a letter to Mr. Ablett and also to having a word with Macca, because if he does this again, then it's quite simply, the try's going to be awarded. He's not going to get away with it.
Well, yeah, I get it. It's one of them, isn't it? I don't know. I just think we need that.
Just think it's an do we want from the sport to look like? And if we want to penalise skill...
Good at play, correct. Yeah, skill.
Then that's fine.
And the thing as well is, people moaning about the ref, he actually gave the try, didn't he?
Yes, he gave the try.
The video ref then gets involved.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
And that's where forensic analysis of everything that we do detracts from it being a sport. And if the referee on the field has seen it, then I think the issue perhaps is that the referee felt the need to refer it upwards. If he just had the confidence of his own ability on the field and said,
you know what, as well,
that's a try, I'm giving that as a try.
Because we were all there, weren't we? And there were no complaints from the Leeds players.
No, all the fans.
The Leeds fans were booing. There's an obstruction there. They knew that it was a good try, but again, it's just the
official. What I would say is it needed Robert Hicks to just say, I'm happy that that's a try, I'm giving a try.
Absolutely.
And if, once you refer it up, the letter of the law does come into it.
Well, I think James has just asked that very question. Do you think the ref should be banned from going to the screen for an obstruction? Because yesterday, the referee yesterday, Chris Kendall, by the way, good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
Sorry about that. Chris Kendall gave about four. No complaints. He called him as he saw him.
Because he didn't have video referee to show
him. Mark, Phil and Richard, I've said it before. The referees referee differently when the cameras are there. Mm. They referee differently, but why do the referee differently?
It's fear.
Is the problem the referee or is it the video referee? Because I've been to probably a dozen live games now and I ain't come away thinking the ref's had a nightmare.
It's
been one or two calls,
Phil,
you get them.
Phil has just said the right word. It's fear. It's fear because they're not, you know, the commentators are telling them to criticise.
It's over scrutiny, isn't it?
Is the irony of the try that Warrington scored the other night and the kid dropped the ball, didn't he, at the play of the ball?
Mm.
He gave the try, which was a try, but had they reviewed it, he dropped it at the play of the ball. Mm. No, I don't hear anyone in the ground much.
A referee's only human. They can only give what they see and give the authority and the purpose back to the officials. And that's what we have to respect.
What we want is to see Tara Jones refereeing again sooner rather than later. I thought that was fantastic. She's the first female to officiate in a Super League game.
I saw that you made a comment yesterday.
Yeah,
and with hindsight, I'm annoyed with myself because I was on national radio yesterday And I didn't. I wasn't aware of this. No, I haven't picked up on it. I wasn't hunting on Twitter for this information. Why have we not been given this information?
Because we're not people who look at the referee appointments like fans do.
No, but
we can go,
it's not that. She apparently tweeted out that she was doing the game, but you only know that if you follow her.
Yeah.
The onus was on the governing body. This is a good news story.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is a body that complained that we don't get the coverage we deserve. Yeah. It's Mother's Day. It's International Women's Day. We put out the Women's Super League fixtures. It's a good news story for the game. Congratulations to her. She's the first. You only get the chance to be the first once.
Yeah, and
that's something we would have celebrated.
Yeah, I felt annoyed. Probably annoyed with myself and for not looking at you. But
some of the response from people who were close to the governing body was they didn't want to put extra pressure on her. If you're going to be a match official, you're under pressure.
Yeah.
If you can't handle that pressure.
She's put her hand up to be an official. Exactly. She's not bothered about what we think.
And I have to say that, we're not always comparing with what they do in Australia, but they've had a couple of women on the touchlines for a while now, and they've fated them. What did we do with Jack Smith when he came into the professional ranks? We couldn't wait to tell the story of how the ex-Marine was now a referee. Yeah. Here we have the first female who I'm hoping will go on and referee a game in her own right, a potential role model for women and girls, and we weren't even told the story.
Yeah, it's rubbish. I'm gonna unleash my tanks this afternoon because there's been a lot on social media about how we promote the game, etc. And I'm just going to put some dates out there to correspondence sent to our governing body that I am still four weeks later waiting a reply to. It's disgusting.
Well, one of the things we'll no doubt talk about a bit more, if there's anything to say, is that we're moving headquarters to Manchester. That's a big statement. The last time the RFL moved headquarters, if you don't count going from Chapel Town Road up to Red Hall, was in 1921 when they first started at Leeds. So they've been in the city for, nearly 100 years. They're now going to Manchester. It's a big story. They're joining the Etihad complex. You would have thought the very least that deserved was a press conference, so we could ask questions about the logistics of it.
I've got a question for the listeners.
It's the key there, ask questions.
What has to happen in rugby league in order for the RFL to have a press conference? Because this week they sacked Dennis Betts. Let's be fair,
yes.
He's been sacked.
And they reappointed Wayne Bennett and sacked Dennis Betts.
Nothing.
They've announced two major squads at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
First female.
Nothing.
Nothing.
What has to happen? What has to happen at the RFL in order to have a press conference? That's what I want to know. Serious question.
And we might ask some questions that they may not want to answer.
But you go on, right? You go on. I said that's rude. You talk about this move, right? They could be doing it. The RFL could be based in Scottish back garden or Buckingham Palace. It's the people that are running it that are the problem, not where they're sat.
But it's a big enough subject that isn't going to happen very often for them, at the very least, to invite people in to gloriously expound on why they're doing it and allow people to say, could you just tell us what's happening with this? Or, is it something about the fact that we've announced the England Knights and the first question from a journalistic room would be, but who are they going to play? And that's the question they don't want to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it great that you're moving to Manchester, but what are you doing with your asset that is Red Hall? We haven't really got an answer on that at the moment, so we'd rather you didn't ask.
How much have you sold it for, given that the building houses are the building houses next to it, I think, behind at the moment, behind it?
I'll tell you one as well. It's I've read Dennis's piece as well. He's left the England job because Dennis, like everybody else, was thinking maybe Bennett was going to be leaving, and his aspirations have been the national coach from there, and when he's realised that Bennett's not from there. But he's got the sack. But I liked his quote when he's saying, when Wayne decides to give the job up when he's 104, then I might be considered for it. But he's been sacked. And it's a shame because he's got plenty to offer, hasn't he, Dennis? Yes.
Well, not according to William on social media, wants him out of Widnes. So maybe he's got more to offer outside of Widnes. Put William.
Interesting.
Mark, can I just mention as well from Keith in Bradford, to everybody who brought the Easter eggs and donated the Easter eggs, to going to the Keighley Kids Hospital and same at Bradford. I think there was around about 600 Easter eggs donated just at the game. So well done to all the Keighley fans and Bradford fans. The legend from the proper sport team, he took these five Easter eggs down on behalf of the team. So everybody.
Who was the other one for? There's only four of us.
Tom.
Big Tom.
Tom as well. Big Tom as well. So the proper sport team, we contribute. well. So everybody at Keighley and Bradford who brought their eggs today, thank you very much.
Well, I want to pass on my thanks to Wigan yesterday, because I know we all saw the social media, John Bateman going to see the two elderly ladies at their...
Oh, it's brilliant, that clip, isn't it?
Their group where they meet and talk about the Wigan and every, you know, the rugby and the memories. And that. I know they do it a lot in football. There's a lot of this happening in football. Is it Sporting Memories it's called? I don't know the name of it, but obviously these old ladies got dementia, but they love a rugby league, was clear, and John Bateman went, and a great video. Well done to everyone involved in that. Well, they brought on the match ball yesterday. Yeah. And it was brilliant. They were laughing and joking when it was probably one of the highlights of the day.
But you see, again, you see, all the great work, what all the rugby league players do, you know, why aren't we telling people what we're doing?
Yeah.
Why aren't? Because we talk about the great products, what we've got on the field. Why aren't we telling people that, yes, we have these so-called big names, we have the celebrities now again, let's get them out there and tell people what we're doing.
You mentioned it just as we were coming in, that this week we've got an eminently promotable game between Castleford and Wigan. Mm. Not least because of the two coaches off of it. Now, we've spoken before about what could somebody like an Eddie Hearn bring to the sport. If you were to say to him, there is genuine animosity between these two, the way they see the game is played is completely different. He would say, well, why don't this week we have a joint press conference and why don't we rattle it up a bit?
Yeah.
And get people talking about the fact that, you know, they're glowering at each other and they don't really want to speak to each other. And
Phil,
you know, isn't that what promotion's all
Phil,
about?
The ideal scenario, with Eddie Hearn is massive to boxing. I'm not saying put the gloves on, but get the interview in a boxer ring or this sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of marketing and, you know, build up to it. Yeah, it's, and I say, let's tell people what we're all about and how good we are.
I think the issue has never been about what's on offer on the field. We see genuinely every week people doing heroic things. Games might not live up to 8 or 9 out of 10 every week, but there's so much to admire on the field. There's not a lot of tinkering we need to do with the product. But how on earth we don't tell more people about what we do is just beyond me.
Mm, interesting. Interesting indeed. Good line coming out of the press yesterday. Obviously, Sean Wayne had used the fact that Wakefield said they wanted to go 5 from 5 as motivation for his side. As Chris just said after the game, what am I supposed to do? Say we're going to come and lose. Yeah.
We'd like to lay down.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite
well. I would imagine as well, Mark, as I say, Sean, saying it last week, that revenge wasn't mentioned. Of course it would have been.
Played well yesterday, Wigan.
Yeah, they're impressive, aren't they? They're impressive.
They played really well.
Two very good second halves on the trot. I think we can say now, after, what, 5 rounds, a different Wigan to the Wigan we saw last year.
Yeah, no, certainly. Wakey probably had a couple of decisions on another day, might have gone their way. They could have turned the game, but I thought Wigan just ground them down second.
I'll tell you what, though, I saw one of the Burgess's tries. I don't know which try it was, but he just picked the ball up near the touchline, about 5 yards out.
Yeah.
Well, how soft was that?
Yeah. The last one.
How soft was
it? Was it his hat trick?
When he looked at all the Wakefield, they're all looking around.
We stopped banging the desk.
Sorry, well, they were all looking around, like blaming each other, weren't they? You know, maybe a harsh lesson. Maybe a harsh lesson.
Talking of tries of the week, which I know League Express put in, was there anything better than Mark Percival's third try? Danny Richardson's.
Is that Mark Percival who can't get the England side?
Yeah,
is that Mark
Percival? I was talking more about the creation of the try. 7 tries this season, ahead of the charts.
Yeah.
But Danny Richardson spotting that a Warrington player had come up out of the line, shot through the gap. But to be able to weigh up the situation, see where his players were, and put in such a beautiful kick in wet conditions.
You know what? When you're a quality player, it's easy, don't you? Because
it's
easy, Phil.
It's not easy.
It is, because
I think it's easy when you're good.
Very few people can do it. But the complete skill set.
Yeah, but this kid would have been doing this when he was like 8 and 9 years of age. So it's easy. Yeah, it's easy when you're good. Don't worry about that, because he's plotting all the time. And we was there. The first half wasn't very good for him. The first kick he did, he put it out on the full and whatever. But the kid doesn't panic. The senior players giving him all that confidence. They're not getting on him and whatever.
Have you calmed down yet? Have you calmed down from Friday?
What?
After Justin Albrook give you a name check in the press conference.
Listen.
What did he say?
That little kid.
Mark.
What did Justin just said about me?
What did Justin say? Get out of the room.
Listen.
He just said some people tipped us to win. He said, I know Scully's here. Scully said we'd win
everything. Listen, the reason why Mr. Holbrook is saying that is because he's a smart coach.
It's only got a losing run.
Hey, listen, people sooner or later will start taking notice of the legend.
Hey, I know, well, a talent. To be fair, I know, picking Danny Richardson till you are.
I know a talent when I see it. You know, this kid, and you know what as well? This kid now, he should be in the England senior squad. He should be putting pressure on Luke Gayle.
This said this about Jordan Lilley.
Where's
he on loan?
Forget him. Oh, that was 3 years ago.
So if you're 50-50, then you're not
this was... Oh, hold on. Declan Pan. If he gets an opportunity, it's better than that Tyrone Roberts. It's better than that Tyrone Roberts. But what I'm saying is here about young Danny Richardson, it's quite simple. Sheer quality. Get him in that national side now. Putting pressure on Luke Gayle. Mm-hmm. This kid
got the
is a way forward.
So you can spot talent but can't tip a game. Is that what we're saying?
Can't tip cement, to be fair. We couldn't tip a wheelbarrow this
one. Do you know what? Yesterday, say the Cougars, and we had 150 in there and a great atmosphere. And
any celebrities in the house?
Big Nigel was there. Big Nigel was there.
What?
Yes. Big Nigel was there.
What?
Big Nigel. Big Nigel. He bought me a couple of pints, actually.
Did he?
That's the most important
big
stuff.
Nigel, if that's not there, kilt, I don't know what is.
He did take it on my top back.
But also, as well, I tipped the Cougars to win 28-20. So let's move on.
Yeah, but that's when you do those tips on the duress, isn't it? You can't say, oh yeah, Bradford are going to smash us.
I wouldn't say it just for saying
so. He's got to say it as it is. So 28-20 then, so 8 wrong, and they lost by 54-6. That's 48. So 56 wrong. So to be fair, that's actually pretty good for you.
Yeah, it's not your worst.
Pretty good for you. Right, what's happening in social media?
Lots of Wakefield fans moaning about the referee yesterday, as if they want to.
Come on. So there was one forward pass that I was dubious about for Ben Jones, but it would have scored. I think that had levelled it up at 18-all. I think other than that, I thought he'd
Chris Chester said the best team won.
Yeah,
so
they did.
There it ends.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of calls, so be it.
Mary says, female referees, what's your opinion? Just have to be good referees.
Doesn't matter what gender,
sexuality, colour, anything, doesn't matter, as long as they're any good.
As long as they know the game.
But if you're making history, let's tell people.
Yes, that would be good.
Nicholas, our Canadian correspondent, says, no matter how many times Gary is wrong, he retains an amazing level of confidence in himself. That's why he's the legend.
Yeah. That's it, Nicholas.
He even wrote an article on how to tackle.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
When you say he wrote, he definitely has never seen it before today.
A good clean tackle performed
is something
in the
I have
way
never done.
Will always bring the ball to the ground.
Is this a character assassination?
No, you wrote this apparently, so let's say what you wrote.
There is nothing more satisfying than pulling off a good tackle, says him.
I only wish I knew how.
It's one of the best ways I know of winning the respect of your teammates and the opposition.
Correct.
His ghostwriter said.
Be prepared to listen to your coach and work hard. Determination can get you anywhere.
Unless he comes from
the dream. Does anybody want a cup of tea?
That was in 1994. Who was your coach in 1994?
You know the coach was.
You always got to listen to him.
You always got to listen to your coach.
Does anybody want a cup of tea?
Not yet, mate. Not yet.
That's in the days when we had an annual.
Yeah, 1994 annual there. The legend telling us how to tackle. Tell us how to tackle now. Good dinner. You're a disgrace. Right, move on.
Elsewhere, yes. away from that. Johnny says, are Salford in trouble? Having to sell Gaz O'Brien with likely more to follow soon.
Well, Gary Carter, who is quite well connected at Salford, has said, he's just gone on social media just before the show and said it's his understanding they've got more money out of this than they did for getting Ben Murdoch-Masilla.
My understanding is that the RFL have looked at the potential for the new Salford board and what they can comfortably cover in terms of expenditure and have dropped their salary cap from 1.85 to about 1.3 million. So Salford need to shed about £500,000 off their salary cap. This is the start
they're
of
it. They're not paying full salary cap now.
They're not paying full at the moment, but they've got to drop it still. So O'Brien is the first person who I think is being dispensed with. The worry for me, if I was a Salford fan, would be that the next cab off the rank could well be Robert Louis.
Scobby.
Hull KR are going to come back in for him in the knowledge that they have to now shed some talent.
Yeah.
And the worry, of course, is that we said it right at the very beginning of the season, we weren't being in any way disrespectful to Salford. We just looked at the way the club was being set up this year as a supporters' trust and said there's going to be some issues here long term. And the worry is that they were a small squad last year and that's what undermined them. If they are now a smaller squad this year and their star names are going, that is something to worry
and
about.
And judging by the figures that were being bandied around for Robert Louis last year, he's going to be well in excess of 100 grand a season. He's one they can get rid of. I said yesterday, as soon as news broke, Scoy, is that if he's going, as an agent, if you're worth your salt, you're going to be saying to your player, do you need to get out of here now as a player? You're going to be thinking, I don't want to be left here when there's only 15 of us. I want out now. The exodus will have started, won't it?
Well, without a doubt, and also as well, it won't be just three or four. It's, as you just mentioned there, the players, well, if there's no ambition there and if there's no purpose, well, nobody wants to stay, will they? But the person you've got to feel sorry for is Coach Watson, isn't he?
You know, he's had the rug pulled from him.
Yeah, he's turned around that mess what it was, as I say, what the great doctor, from a point of view, started, cause, and now he's got from there. But Watson brought that stability from there. The egos, he got out of that dressing room, created a good team spirit. Brilliant rugby league at times last year, but as you mentioned many times, Phil, the quality and the numbers game went against them last year. They got to the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, but they just didn't have the quality. But now, losing all that quality, what they've got, oh, it's a disaster, and the person you've got to feel sorry for is Watson, the coach.
Is Marwan Kukash to blame?
I think he feels that he has, if you like, underwritten this season. I think he's there in the background as the potential guarantor so that they will survive this year.
Right, OK.
My worry... I mean, he's also claimed that they've got the best rental deal of any club, that the ground deal he's done for this year.
And
the biggest shirt sponsor. So I think he feels that he's left them in a manner that allows them to survive for 1 year. The worry would be, particularly if they're selling off some of their crown jewels during this year, how do they start next year?
Well, if they
well, lose, they'll be starting in the Championship.
Yeah, also, but also,
well, depending on what the structure is.
I think even allowing for that, because
it's a £1 million game. They'll be in a £1 million game, and they act the way that you look at the top four sides. What in the Championship now? They'll beat Salford.
The worry is this week's fixtures. I mean, we've seen Catalan get off the mark. They did what they had to do. It wasn't pretty. But there was some grit and determination for them to get their first win. And I think if Steve McNamara wanted anything, it wasn't analyse how good the performance was. It's thank goodness we've got back to the three teams above us. They could beat Warrington at home this week. Salford have a really difficult game at home to Hull. We could be sitting here next week with Salford bottom of the table going into a difficult Easter period, and that would be a worry that they would get away from that.
The worry I have for Salford is they've got most of their players fit at the minute, and they're not winning. What's it going to be like when the injuries hit? And they will hit.
The best players aren't there.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we touched on a side there as well. Going nowhere near.
All right, we'll come on to them in a minute.
Yeah, I'm ready for them.
The Vultures are out. Niall Evel's going to Castleford, says Niall. Not Niall Evel.
Well, I was
going to
say, you look at the O'Brien, Cass could have done with the Gareth O'Brien, couldn't he?
Apparently, Castleford and Lee were in for him, and he's chosen Toronto.
Well, he wouldn't want to go to Lee, would he? What do you want to go to Lee for?
James Day, almost you ran on Lee there. And Robert says Kopchak perhaps to Leeds to replace Galloway.
Kopchak, yes, very good player.
I like Kopchak.
Very good player.
Yeah, I like Kopchak.
Yeah, no doubt. There's some good players there. Josh Jones is another one, I'm sure, at the blink of an eye.
Mark Flanagan's a decent player. Yeah. He gets virtually every Super League.
They've got a good team.
Yeah,
they've got a good team. They haven't got a good squad.
But it's being picked apart.
Yeah. Junior Souter Wigan, says Matt. Just selling off.
No, John Bateman played at centre yesterday. See, Wayne Bennett can't be wrong, Scoy. Yeah, John Bateman played at centre yesterday.
Yeah, but he'll be at centre for Cronulla or something next year. So,
in case the other fellow
move on. Is not coming in.
Because they will have Galloway. I would imagine they'll have been on a few quid at Leeds.
They've space to sign somebody.
So, Kopchak to Leeds, is that what they're saying?
Well, that's what the listeners are saying.
Right. Yeah. But he'll do a good job for Leeds. He would be ideal for Leeds. Good player.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Excellent. Any more, Rich?
No, just Souter Wigan again. So, pretty much everyone's going to be leaving Salford. Can they dual reg with a team in the Championship? Can they dual reg with Toronto and just get all the players back?
Maybe.
Can they do that? I don't know.
Maybe.
Also, as well, can I just mention another player as well who I saw yesterday at Keighley? Mm-hmm. And this may be just a little bit of a message of Salih Radford. Look at young Keys at Bradford. Quality, quality halfback.
Young Londoner.
Takes a line on. Very, very quick. Good organiser.
I remember the last time you saw Joe Keys, I think playing for the Bulls, you were quite critical of him.
Well, he was. He didn't have that confidence, but what he has done now is...
playing at League One, mate.
He's grown in...
John Keir? John Keir maybe invested in him and said it's your team.
Yeah, giving that freedom of expression to play with that vision and awareness. And, oh, boy, it was good yesterday. Yeah, Mark, you're saying it's only League One, but Young Keezy... he's got all the materials there. If he's playing with better players around him, like Richardson, they'll give him that onus, they'll give him that responsibility. He would respond to that.
Fair
good player,
mate. No, I'm not arguing.
Lee Radford, if you're listening,
why Lee Radford?
Because Hull need a quality halfback.
So do a few teams in Super League.
Well,
Salford,
good goal kicker as well. 9 out of 10.
Good goal kicker. Good tactical kicker. Good player, please.
Ireland international.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, look at this England night squad.
Mm. Was he an Ireland international?
Ah, well, he didn't want to play for England. Be better.
He's an Ireland international.
Yeah. What don't you understand about that, Gary?
And we don't know when Ireland are playing next.
We don't know when England Knights are playing next. Yeah. Who will play first, England Knights or Ireland? Or will the RFL hold a press conference? Which will happen first? It's like the impossible pub quiz we used to have on Radio Yorkshire. No one knows the answer.
I think Christmas will be here first, won't it?
Radio Yorkshire.
Christmas will be here first, won't it, before we get to final?
Possibly. Yeah. Right, OK.
Yeah, well, Nick says, Scully, stop bigging up our Keezy. Bradford fans can
there you
say.
Go.
Right. I think Bradford can probably outbid Salford at the moment, so you'd be all right. He's not going there, at least. Yeah. We'll find out what's going to happen.
Anyway, about the Keithley social media assassinating one of the Bradford players?
Yeah. Look at this, he's not.
It was funny, though.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was funny at all.
No,
I thought it was really poor. Really poor.
What happened?
Saying about him getting his ego in. What did he say?
Getting his ego
into the ground or something.
However, last
Ross
week...
Peltier.
Jason Walton's tweet about Jake Connell was funny because that's an individual having an opinion about another individual.
Yeah, which he's entitled to.
A club above all this.
We need to do our Twitter poll.
We have
got a Twitter poll, actually, if you have a look Twitter. Danny Brough, I've asked a question as a fan.
Yes,
would you want him at your club? He's got a new one-year deal.
On the back of which he played very well for Huddersfield on Friday night.
Oh, well... Well done.
He did. He did.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. When did he last win him a big game, Phil? Serious question. When did he last win them a big game? And I would have thought, this is my opinion, team up to the salary cap, got no wiggle room at all. They've just committed a lot of money to him. He won't be cheap, let's be fair. You know, he's probably got the right to have earned the money he earns. They've also admitted, Rick Stone said today, don't know what he's doing next season. So why are Huddersfield committing to Brough when they don't know who the coach is going to be? Because the coach might come in if they're going to change the coach. They go, I don't want him. I don't understand that.
Happened to Rick Stone when he arrived? They said, you're the man we want. By the way, you've got to have all these players.
I'm going to go NFL here, but we're watching NFL where teams just getting rid of good players to free up some space so they can get more players in that they need. I just look at that and I think I'm honest, and I'd say it to him. If I was in charge of Huddersfield, I don't think I would have given him a new deal. What does the Twitter poll say, Danny?
The Twitter poll says 72% no.
Yeah. So there you go.
Kev says they're swatting for Maddie Smith, but I think Kev's just our...
It was Kev's birthday last week, wasn't it?
Happy birthday, Kev.
We sent him a card. Happy birthday, Kev. I think it was that, Kev. It was that, Kev.
Danny Brough going to St. Helens?
Yeah. Paul would have had him at the Rhinos.
Paul been drinking?
if it was
schoolboy laugh, wasn't it, from Kaplan there at the back?
If it was Danny Brough from, a few years ago...
Phil, you're a big Leeds fan. Would you have Brough at Leeds?
I think they're all right with Richie Myler, particularly the way he played on Thursday. Oh. I think he's grown into the role. Even you must admit he had some class touches.
Not long enough.
Oh, he created three of the four tries.
After 30 minutes.
If I had the he must be the same age as Liam Finn, or similar age.
I think he's going to be 37 next year.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't be far off.
So if you had the choice between the two, it's an easy choice.
Well, it'll compare. How much to how much?
If I had the Danny Brough of his peak,
yeah,
I would have the Donnybrook of his peak.
Yeah, but you're not getting the Liam
Richard, we're not getting that. You can't say that. We're not.
Well, this is my point.
That's I'd rather have the Liam Finn of now, who I know is a dependable, safe pair of hands, who does his job brilliantly, than someone who's a bit erratic.
Who is more influential on their team, Brough or Finn?
Oh, is
Finn
that positive or negative?
Finn easy.
Positive for me. I'm just surprised. I got wind that this might be happening, and I have to say, I'm surprised.
So who's it who does all the contacts? And is it Fewless? Is it?
Well, I don't know. Who has? If you don't know who the coach is going to be, it strikes me as an amazingly strange decision.
So why is Rick Stone saying he don't know what he's doing here? So is he a little bit?
He was asked today, what's happening with your contract? Is that a contract end of the season? Right, he doesn't know if he's getting a new one. That might well be going to happen. But I'd say if you're committing to big name players, you were saying to Rick, do you want this guy for next season? That might have happened. He might have said, yeah. But he ain't got a contract. I just think it's a strange one.
Yeah, but you listen to Stoney's comments in the League Express about it. He's delighted that he's there. He brings a lot to the team.
He's not going to come in and say he's rubbish, is he?
Well,
by the way, he's rubbish.
Listen, I understand that, but why is he saying anything at all?
I would just be asking the question, for the money they're paying, what are they getting? It's just a question.
Well, Muffy for sure, Danny, he's not going to win him the Challenge Cup. He's not going to win him the League this year. No, they won it 4 years ago, didn't they? Because everybody else were pretty ordinary. And he ain't going to win him the Grand Final, is he? Plus, as well, it's not his fault. He ain't got the players around him, has he? Overall.
But my point is, should they not have said, right, we'll go for someone else and we've got 80 grand or whatever to spend on some more players?
He's an automatic selection now. You've signed him for another year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and as I say, but I've just mentioned a young kid, Young Keys. Should be looking at talent like that. Sorry, Bradford fans, but I think you'd be pretty lucky at all, aren't this young kid, by the way he's going.
Maybe the new director of rugby at Castleford will have his eye on him.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Actually, we might talk about it now because we're just
talking about it now because we've got a few messages about this. Mark Jones says Steve Gill, one of the saviors of our club, a legend. Chris says thoughts on John Wells' appointment as director of rugby at the Tigers. Paul says, why does Cass need a director of rugby?
Well, what does a director of rugby bring to a club? What does he do?
Well, I guess it depends on what the job title and job description is, because John Key was
director of rugby. So what does he do?
I don't know.
Partly the bridge between the players and the board.
So
isn't that the coach?
Yeah.
Well, again,
it's the coach after games and results and season when it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's him who has to report to the board of directors. So why director of rugby?
Looks at recruitment.
Right. Okay.
Junior development.
Right.
Depending on what the job description is at Castleford, that's what it sort of encompasses at some other clubs.
Write reports like Kevin Sinfield because he's the rugby director at the RFL.
Mm-hmm. I think again, sometimes if the players have an issue that. They don't want to go to the coach with. They can go to the director of rugby.
That's stabbing the coach in the back.
No. They might not necessarily about the style of play. It just might be something that's concerning them. Could even be a non rugby related matter.
Hold on, Gary. Just one second. Just in reply to that, though, isn't that what your player welfare manager's for?
It should be. But isn't player welfare manager also about transition out of the game and giving them other things to concentrate on while they're playing as well? It might be that the director of rugby is one of those people take on board,
I'll guarantee
a player issue, a coach issue.
I'll guarantee you, if a player went to the director of rugby and complained about A, B, C and D, and the coach found out, right, he would go absolutely ballistic.
I'm assuming that John Wells at Castle is not going to be the same kind of director of rugby as John Keir was at Wakefield. He was obviously a big support to the coaching staff, wasn't he, more than anything else?
What do we think? The more pertinent question for me is, why is he still being allowed to work on the telly?
Isn't that the only question?
Well, not really. I think there are.
Is that definitely still working on the telly? Is it?
Yeah, apparently so.
Well, how's he going to be able to commentate on Castleford games then?
There's a conflict of interest, isn't there?
Why is he allowed to be doing what he's doing then?
Yeah. Is he going to highlight areas of foul play against maybe future opponents of Castleford?
If Tigers lose a game, is he going to point to the poor recruitment of the director of rugby?
I don't know. Fair enough, if he's going to take the job, then you're right, you give your job up on the telly and you go work for Castleford.
And the issue for me is, if director of rugby is a serious position that needs a lot of time devoting to it, if you're going to do it in the same way that Wakefield did with John Keir, then you can't have another job at the same time.
No.
Because the job itself...
Is there not too much of this now?
Yeah.
Too much odd jobbing. Jobs for the boys.
Jobs for the
you
boys.
Do this, we'll do that.
I see. What purpose is it? What purpose is it going to serve at Castleford?
The strange thing is, of course, I don't know. John Key has not been replaced as director of rugby, has he? They've brought in another assistant coach, but not a director of rugby now. So it's is it just a job title?
Has Castleford explained what his role is going to be? Have they explained?
Get the statement. We'll get the statement.
What he's looking to do, or what he's looking to bring?
It is, as Phil said, isn't it? It's about the
liaison.
Yeah, developing a pathway for the youngsters to the first team, etc. I don't know personally.
His statement reads: John will work alongside Dal Powell, Steve Gill, until the end of May, and the board of directors at Castlewood Tigers, looking after football matters from the boot room right up to the boardroom, providing a vital link to identify players and assist with the transition of young players through the system.
And he's not, half the time, he's not even going to be able to watch the team play. Is he?
No, because...
Next Friday, when they're all playing on the same night, he won't be able to watch.
The job with Sky, he'll be there all day, whichever way he's at, Wigan or whether it's Hull and what have you. So 2 days a week, he's going to be sat in a trolley van until they kick off at 7:30, isn't he?
Yeah. So, I know there's a few Cast fans have questioned it. We will no doubt at some point speak to John about what's going to happen and get his view on it, and speak to maybe Castleford as a club as to what they see this happening. But I don't know. It almost seems the bad news is Steve's going, and you know, as a friend of the show, we wish him well.
Mm. Yeah, we do. But, he's done a great job at Cass.
Yeah,
great
job. You know, what's happening there with him, it all seems a little bit bizarre to me. A little bit bizarre.
I think the good thing for Steve is that he gets to maintain his involvement by being made a director. I think that's the right and honourable thing to do.
Yeah.
He looks as though he's physically and emotionally tired at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see him interviewed, and I hope that from his point of view, that I mean, it must have been a heck of a year last year, and certainly the way it ended, I think, hurt him personally, because he couldn't have done any more. You know, you just said he's done a terrific job. He's taken them from the absolute depths when virtually nobody else would do the job that he was asked to do. Dealt with some real crises in his time, and not only that, but the team have been to Wembley, the team have been to Old Trafford, the team have won a League Leader Shield, all under him. I think he's done not only a sensational job, but I just hope it hasn't taken a personal and physical toll on him, and if he's now recognised that he has, and he was saying he wasn't even looking forward to the start of this season, then, you know, hopefully he'll have a break, and he won't be under the same constant pressure that he has been last year.
No, fair enough. Peter says John Key worked for the BBC.
Phil Gould at Channel 9 in Australia while working at Penrith, and Brian Noble, of course, is always on the Toronto games on the telly.
Mm.
I guess that's slightly different, isn't it? Because it's selling the game to the Canadian audience.
Yeah, and he's actually covering his own team's games.
Yeah.
So he's there watching.
He is seeing the people that he's recruited and how they're playing.
By the way, there's just been a statement made by Derek Beaumont, owner of the Lee Centurion. So I'll read this to you. He's not leaving or anything like that. But he said, I would like to place on record that despite what may be being speculated about myself and Lee Centurions, that I'm very much still involved in the fight to get this club into the top four of the Betfred Championship, from where it can kick on and regain its place in Super League. It's a challenge that is becoming increasingly more difficult, but it is not insurmountable at present. I take full responsibility as owner of the club for the position the club finds itself in. Ultimately, any decisions the club have made have been under my leadership, and I've agreed with them and enabled them to happen. I believe we were making the right decisions to build a youthful, energetic squad that could return us to Super League and enable us to then build something for the future. Most people have agreed that this is what we had done, but at the moment we're not seeing it on the field. I still believe there's quality players required to finish in the top four, and I am actively, along with Kieran Cunningham, trying to find the right person to appoint as head coach to lead the group into some self-belief and confidence. I think he's probably just might as well have stopped after that sentence, I think. This is proving to be difficult, but I'm committed to adding further financial support to make an appointment. Similarly, I did the same upon hearing the news of Ben Reynolds' injury by adding Jordan Lilly to the group last week. Understand the frustrations, blah, blah, blah.
So Kieran Pirtle's not getting the job then, by the same
In the meantime, Kieran Pirtle is working tirelessly to do all he can with the rest of the staff, and I thank him for stepping up to the plate at a difficult time. I hope this provides some clarity, and thank you for your continued support of the club, which is greatly needed and appreciated. I think the rumours doing the rounds were that he was going to leave, which I think he's tried, in fairness, he's tried to address there.
7 points off the top four. It's not insurmountable, but it's very nearly.
They're in a mess. They're in a mess. The shambles again.
They've played six games. They've got 17 games left. Mm.
But they've got to play all the teams in the top four away.
Yeah.
So although they will, you would think, pick up points against sides who will gravitate towards the lower reach of that division, 7 points off with 17 games to go is still a lot.
Well, when you've got an issue where the players couldn't care less, it's a massive issue. Massive, massive issue. And Derek put that tweet out, what was it, about 4 weeks ago, was it, when he says how many NRL players he had, how many Super League players he had, how many internationals he had. What a load of tosh. And do you know what? I applaud all the hard work Derek Beaumont has done. I applaud the work what Mike Leven's doing now. I applaud bringing Mickey Hyam in there to sort that dressing room out. But the mess, what is being caused by bringing egos in, by bringing players who couldn't care less about the shirt, bringing Kieran Cunningham in, has been a massive, massive mistake. They've only got themselves to blame. But then players have to take responsibility on their performances and what they're bringing at the moment. And at this moment in time, they're a disgrace.
The surprise thing is, he's very close friends with Dr. Kukoc. And that's the road that the doctor went down when things didn't go his way early at Salford. He went out and bought anyone he could. There was no element of team about it. It's, oh, a good individual's available, we must have him. Oh, look, we've got a collection of individuals. If you talk to Dr. Kukoc now, he acknowledges that was the wrong way to go about it, that he was probably 2 or 3 years late in realising what it needed, and it was a group of people that could play together and got on together. And he was sort of getting that in last year, before they had the injuries. I'm amazed that he and Derek, who speak and see each other a lot, he didn't say, don't go down the road I went down, because...
Yeah, but Phil, what Marwan did, he gave him Corey Patterson, he gave him Rangi Chase, he gave him Harrison Hansen, he gave him Gareth Hawk from Salford, who were the big problems at Salford with the egos, and he said, "Here, you take these, they'll make you better." Oh, rubbish.
So where do they go from here? Who's going to want that job? That's the question. Who's going to want that job?
I'll tell you who'd want it, because he wants a big star. This is no disrespect. I think you know I'm going to talk about here from a coaching point of view, and he's at Barrow. Paul Crary, he would love the responsibility of turning Lee around. And I'll tell you, as a coach and as a person and as a man manager and getting the best out of players, I would say to Derek Beaumont, Derek, don't look any further, son. Go to Paul Crary. I know the Barrow fans won't be happy about this, but Paul Crary would be the coach to get him out of this mess.
I don't think he'll go, and I'm not sure it would be a wise move for him to go, but I'd be looking at James Ford. I think he's the next.
The problem is,
I think he's the next coach and cab off the rank.
No, I agree with that, but it's an unstable environment to be going in, because they've just had £500,000pound in parachute money. That, to be quite honest, they might as well have thrown in the bin, right? Because the squad they've got is not performing. That squad needs turning around. I mean, this sounds really disrespectful. I wouldn't know Paul if he walked in here. I wouldn't know. I don't know him. Is he going to be able to command that dressing room? Are they going to listen to him, Gary? Because you've been in a dressing room,
and
you know what it's like. And if they don't want to listen, they won't listen.
I agree. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter if it's Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy, or whoever.
So does it need a Keir then? Or a Brian McDermott-style figure to come in and say, look, not bothered who you are, what you are. This is what we're doing.
Well, clearly he has handled egos, because when he was at Barrow before with Des Johnson, he had all the big egos when there was the side there with your Rooneys and your Carricks and them sort of guys. So he's handled egos. So and I say, from a coaching point of view, it's my management style. I don't think he'd have an issue with that.
If Derek wants to make one big gesture that might solve the problem, I'd get Sean Edwards.
Do you know what, as well?
Phil.
Sean's not going to come at
Lee. He's not going to give up a job in rugby union.
He said he's looking for a head coach's job in league or union.
Well, Derek said Mike Ford. Let's get all the old Wigan players.
Sean's from up the road at Wigan. You're talking about the charisma of someone who could walk in that dressing room, and even the egos that are currently in there would at least sit down and go, I need to listen to what this bloke's got to say, because he is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Give him a...
But if you're Sean Edwards, you're going to be looking at Peter and you're going to say, what's it like at Lee?
I think...
You're going to hear what it's like at Lee. You're going to know that the chairman, having to make statements that he's not going away, says that there's obviously rumours, etc., that he might be.
But I think if you're Sean Edwards and you want to start your head coaching career with a real challenge in your hometown...
Don't need to.
No, I think he'd want to. I think that would really motivate him. He's not going to get a job at a Super League club at the moment because...
How do you know? You might get one at Widnes.
I don't think at the moment... I don't think any Super League teams are looking, but I think he could... with the talent he knows is in that Lee dressing room and the challenge of making up those 7 points, I think he'd have a conversation.
And what happens if they don't get in? Don't make the four, or they make the four, they're not getting Super League. Is Derek Bowman going to put another million and a half quid?
Derek can answer, but I think if you want to get bums on seats, if you want to get excitement around a club that at the moment is flailing around in a position that it's clearly unfamiliar with, that won't go anywhere quickly unless you get somebody of calibre in, I'd be taking Sean out for a cup of coffee.
Because you know what, fellas? Well, because I could quite easily do what Sean Edwards would do in the first month. Because I know exactly what the words from Sean would be. And it would be from anybody. It'd be quite simple. But, well, listen, you lot. The ego's what you have got. You're in absolute disgrace. If you don't want to play for this club, there's the door. There's the door. If you don't show the right commitment, you don't show the right desire, you don't show the right enthusiasm to want to be part of this club... There's a door. There will be the first words anybody will say in that. So I could quite easily do that. But then the problem is, the pressure will be from Derek because I would imagine Sean's conversation or whatever. And if
I'm not being rude, he's not going to tell that.
But what I'm saying is here, from anybody with experience who's going to go in there, the words are going to be the same. And so then they'll be saying, yeah, I reckon within 6 to 8 games, I'll turn this around. The problem is, if it's not turned around in 6 to 8 games, that's where you'll get interference again from Derek and putting the pressure on. Because he can't leave it alone.
When he knows he's going to have to put another million in.
Because he can't leave it alone.
Because he's not going to make the four.
Correct.
He won't be able to help
Correct.
Himself.
So it is a massive
Sean Edwards will not take that.
No, I agree.
I'm not saying he would, but if I was Derek, I might be trying to find out what his phone number was.
I can give him it. I've got his number.
It was a figurative speech.
Bring back Ellery Hanley. Anyway, Gary Carter says... Sean Edwards appears to be more interested in international role. Oh, he could have been Wayne Bennett's sidekick.
Oh, Sean, get in the queue. When Darryl Powell gets in there, all the halfbacks. Yeah, get in the queue, Sean.
Well, looking forward to Paul Welland's press conference this autumn during the Test series against New Zealand, anyway.
Trouble at the mill, then, for Lee. Beaten again by Halifax yesterday. They were 28-0 down, weren't they?
I think that's the thing. It's not that they were beaten. It's the manner in which they were beaten. I think we all sat here last Monday and said, oh, we think, you know, that'll be a real test for Lee. But I think we all expect it to be relatively close.
But I think it's interesting, again, with that statement coming from Derek as well, and they're saying, myself and Kieran Cunningham are looking for the right man. What is Kieran bringing to any role? What is he bringing?
Head director of rugby.
What is he bringing?
That's what I'm thinking. No.
What, you know, what exactly is he bringing?
A wealth of experience and a statue.
What is he bringing? And do you know what as well? When you mentioned that, and I say you mentioned Kieran and the way that St Helens are going, I want to applaud Mr McManus. Right? Because it must have been very, very hard for him, because as we know with the statue of what he's got there, we know Kieran Cunningham as a St Helens player, absolute legend. But Mr McManus must be very, very much credited with having the crystals to say, Kieran, sorry, but this ain't working. Because it must have hurt him. Mm. It must have hurt him. But now, when we saw Mr McManus, who was there on Friday, he's vibrant. He's smiling, he's talking to everybody now, and that's a McManus what we all know, because he loves the St Helens club. But I tell you what, he must be applauded for having the crystals to get rid of the so-called best player.
Did he have the crystals?
Best player.
The way St Helens were playing. The way St Helens were playing, mate, they'd have ended up. They'd be heading towards the bottom four. He didn't have a choice.
Well, he did not have a choice. Mark, the point I'm making is, he was taking. You know the emotional part.
He'd probably give him a bit longer than he should have done.
Absolutely, but again, he had to decide. Say, well, unfortunately, I've got to say, see you later. So I think he's got to be applauded for that, Mark. I do, honestly. I do.
Fair dues. I think it was just a straightforward decision, personally.
But as you said, he left it on too long, but, and I said, it could go any longer, could it? And now when you see the way that the Saints are and with the players and say with the advice what Holbrook took from the legend with young Richardson, tell you what, it's vibrant.
said the assistant coach of St Helens.
What are you all laughing at? What are you all laughing at? Eh?
No.
When can we get ripped into Warrington?
In a bit.
Nicholas says, what could bind a team together? What makes a group of individuals start acting like a team? What can Lee do? In Toronto, he says, I think having everybody on the same page or spreading rugby league to a new audience is partly what binds a team. Living together in Toronto, or Manchester as it's also known, and exploring a new city with their teammates likely helped a bit as well, along with the reception by the fans here. Tim on Sean Edwards says, surely he's going to be staying with the Wales Rugby Union until their World Cup. He's more likely to go to Wigan or England.
Yeah. If Sean Edwards comes to Super League, it'll be at Wigan, well, Warrington, Leeds, or possibly St Helens. That'd be, those would be only four he'd even entertain.
Well, St Helens will have him.
Well, he's a free
Wigan. He's a Wigan lad, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Leeds, but I'm talking Leeds wouldn't have him. The fans would want him.
Fans. Fair enough. Having watched a bit
Fenton,
of
the fans don't want the fans don't want Brian McDermott, mate. Just
the most successful coach they've ever had.
Phil'll tell you that. Leeds won't have Sean Edwards.
All right then.
Calm down. Having had to endure a bit of the Six Nations on Saturday, one assumes Sean Edwards would try and score four tries from the start rather than not bother.
Was that Six Nations?
Yeah. Paul says more chance of getting Jonathan Edwards.
Exactly.
He might be better than, you know, other candidates.
But he won't work on a Sunday, though, would he, Jonathan Edwards?
No, he does now.
Oh,
no,
does he?
No, he does now. Yeah. He's back involved now, so it's all right.
Our former colleague Danny got into something.
Yeah. We don't like to talk about him now. He's gone.
Well.
So. Good luck, Danny. Hi, Gary Schofield. Can I ask if the Bolts will go unbeaten this season? Might lose to Hunslet this week.
Yes.
Do you think?
What, you can ask, or they are.
Is that yes as a yes, and then they'll want, and now we can go, ah!
I'm saying no. They'll get turned over somewhere.
Could right, I'll have a curry with you then. The Bulls will go unbeaten.
Well, to be fair, you need to start writing these down, because the way it stands, you're going to have to bring out your own curry brand. You'll be making that much. You'll be paying for that much of it. It might be cheaper.
On League One, concerned about West Wales Raiders only going to Workington with 14 players?
Do we,
as a sport, not have a duty of care? I mean, York went to Toulouse the year before last with 14 players. What are we doing here? We have concussion rules, but we're prepared to allow 14 players to take against on 17. The job of 17?
Against 17, I know.
Where have all the players from Gloucester and Oxford gone?
And what's happening to Bristol in this new shake-up of they're coming in 2019? That's coming. But surely that game should have been called off. If we're serious about the world's duty of care.
Why was it allowed? It should not have been allowed, should it? Shouldn't have been allowed.
Speaking of Wales, I'm assuming Phil watched this because I didn't. Because I couldn't.
I've taped it.
I can't get BBC2 Wales on Virgin. I can't get lots of channels on Virgin. Maggie says, applause for the brilliant Welsh history. Roy says, who watched Codebreakers last night on BBC2 Wales? Brilliant programme.
Well, you were involved in it, Phil, weren't you? Sorry, Rich.
I understand it. Was a very enlightening programme for a lot of people who didn't realise some of the miscreants within the 15-a-side code.
There was a brilliant dual narrative in it. One was the presenter Caroline Hitt, who is well known for covering Welsh Rugby Union and written a couple of books on the subject, and she went on the trail of players that had gone north with a preconception of why they had, and for her the straw that broke the camel's back when she was young was Jonathan Davis, and she just could only see rugby league as a thief, you know, stealing all the best talent. But she started to uncover some of the stories of why they went, both economic and also there was an element of racism in there as well, that black players felt that they wouldn't get the chance to play for Wales at Rugby Union. And by the end of it, she had completely changed her mind and had met some wonderful people along the way who and heard the stories of some of the heroes of Welsh Rugby Union and why they'd played for Rugby League. And I just thought it was really sensitively done. They highlighted some fabulous people who switched and went into stories of why. And at the end of it, she honestly said, you know, we have been completely remiss in Wales for not celebrating people like Billy Boston. It's an absolute scandal that he's got two statues up. You know, one is at Wembley, the other is at Wigan, and the people in Cardiff don't know who he is. And I thought they edited it absolutely magnificently. They said they had enough material to do a series, but for me it was... a wonderful hour, which you can, I think, still get on iPlayer for the next month. And I would advise you, as anybody who's a rugby league fan or even a rugby union fan, to watch it, because it's an eye opener.
Yeah, when I saw the piece in the paper about it as well. But when you look at all the talent that did come, when you look at Billy B, you look at Colin Dixon, and you look at Lewis Jones from there. But you looked at the three players as well, who from a point of view they didn't come, because they would have got ran out of Wales going back in Barry John, Gareth Edwards, and also to Cliff Watson. I tell you what, they would have been a sensation. We believe they would have been brilliant.
And I think it exposed the hypocrisy as well, that the players stayed because they were being paid. Yeah. In an amateur sport.
Exactly.
Oh, hang on a minute. So,
I think the other thing it showed from a rugby league point of view.
Did you say they weren't getting paid?
No, they weren't allowed to be paid. They were amateur. Oh. They were purely amateur.
Phil.
They found nothing in their boots when they put them on.
We know the story of the boot tails and the little.
Can we get a HMRC historical investigation into the.
What was interesting, though, from a rugby league point of view, was when they came over. The last great exodus was in the 80s, when there were economic problems in Wales, and a lot of the players, like Jonathan, decided to turn then. And made no secret of the fact.
Well, he did it first. He said it first.
It's all about the challenge.
Yeah, he said it first. It's all about the challenge. Yeah. Now he's reframed on that. He said it's a load of.
It was about the money. It was about securing his family's future, and there's nothing wrong with that. But of course, we reformed the Welsh team when they all came over. And in 1995, under Clive Griffiths, they had that fantastic run in the World Cup. And it reminded me when Clive Griffiths, who was obviously another of those players that turned and came north, said that they played at Swansea and 2,000 people were locked out. Mm. You know, we're talking about Welsh Wales Raiders can't raise more than 14 players in 2018. To play a game at Workington, and 20,000 fans were locked out of an international in 1995. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy as well.
I agree. Mm. But then three players who didn't come in, Edwards, Watson, and
Barry John and Cliff Morgan.
Gareth Edwards, they would have been sensational.
Well, and again, they read some minutes from the St Helens board meetings as to the fact that terms had been agreed.
I tell you what, when you watch, I don't know if you've seen it on Sky, when they're doing, you know, the Sporting Heroes, and the one with Gareth Edwards on Half an Hour. Have you seen that? How good a player was he? Yeah. When I mentioned with that word vision and awareness, this player, he had everything, and I tell you what, he was tough on all.
He was tough.
The battering what he did, but you looked at his passing game. That reverse pass, what he could sling about 25, 30 yards. You looked at the speed he had. You look at the support play, what he had. The kicking game, what he had. He was an absolute pleasure to watch. And you know, when we talk about people putting bums on seats, if Gareth Edwards would have come or Barry John to whichever club, they would have packed the stadiums out, home and away, wouldn't they? Mm. Just to see him.
That try, though, he scored for the Barbarians against New Zealand. More forward passes in that than watching Lee.
No, they won't reach it. But I tell you what, when you look at that size,
get a video ref on that. Get a TMO on that one.
Do you know what? When you look at that size stepping from Phil Bennett, when you're in your living room watching it, you're doing it with him, aren't you? Eh? You're shaking the shoulders, you're stepping and shaking the shoulders, though you're doing okey cokey. My left foot's in, my left foot's out, and he's going all over. But brilliant, absolutely brilliant rugby players.
And the other theme that came through from the programme was the ostracisation of those Welsh players, that even, you know, when Lewis Jones got married up here, all of his old Welsh teammates were invited to the wedding. The only one that came was Cliff Morgan, because they weren't even allowed by association to have anything to do with rugby league.
Yeah,
that's a human rights issue. That is sporting apartheid.
Well, I guess Lewis wouldn't have been too bothered because it saved him a few quid.
You know Lewis. He wouldn't even be in it.
Absolutely.
The game they play in heaven.
Served him a few quid.
What's happening on social
Andy,
media?
Andy, you haven't missed Scotty's rant on Warrington yet. That's still to come.
No, it's still to come. Building up to it.
On Bradford and the Cougars, Mel Way says, after the way the Bulls demolished the Cougars, does the legend think John Carey's beginning to weave his magic at Oddsall and that they are the real deal? Wait, it's going to go unbeaten now, Mel Way. Rob went to Keighley versus Bradford yesterday. Keighley were very poor. So many knock-ons. Bradford, different class to the rest of that division, though, by what I saw. Janet, though, says Newcastle will turn the Bulls over on Magic Friday. Are we off to that, eh? It's the Friday of Magic Weekend.
Don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll go for a few quiet sherbets somewhere, aren't we?
Be live on proper sport anyway.
We'll go to Kingston Park and have a few sherbets there.
Possibly. We'll see.
Ben, anything else? The grand final's got Saints and Wigan written all over it. Now, Leeds will be in there. Not Warrington, though.
Watched them both this week. Both played really well this week. Fair play to them. Someone's going to have to stop them.
Martin says, outstanding stuff in the NRL opening week. Hate to say it, but in comparison, our game and theirs is worlds apart in all departments.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson as well. I've already mentioned this to Phil. Do you know, like, you've mentioned it three or four times. So has Phil, and you know, Richard's not been blatant on about it, but well, it's only early in the season, you know, it's only three or four games in. Do you know what the philosophy of the Australian clubs is, Mark? Their philosophy is, we don't want to be the wooden spoonies. So they want to start the first week of the season, get the hit in the form the first game of the season, and then start moving up the table. They're not bothered about waiting four or five or six games. It's all about from the first game of the season, because the philosophy is, we don't want to be the wooden spoonies.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much for agreeing with me for once.
No, I don't agree with you. I've never said that. I just acknowledge what you said. There's a difference, believe me. Brisbane, bottom of the league. So if they lose the next two games, which I agree, it's probably highly unlikely.
Bell it out.
You think they're going to go in? Oh no, three games gone, season's over. Oh, they're going to go, silly days yet, lads. No, don't worry, we'll turn it around.
Hey, listen, hey, do you know what as well? I read this as well, and I'll tell you what, I wonder if Luke Gale's seen it. Because Bendy Marshall was outstanding for the West Tigers. Absolutely outstanding, right?
Come on then, what page are you on?
And Benji, I'm just getting
it's on page 28.
I'm just getting here from Benji. And.
Bear with us, listener. We're having a technical issue.
What are you doing here?
Where's
the NRL pie? Sound page 28. I've just told you.
Sound's still better than Sky.
I'm on 31. Right, I've got it. Right, I've got it here.
Have you found it?
I've got it here.
What page is it on?
Well, we all know that, you know, what a quality player Benji Marshall is. Certainly in his
if you're not watching on Facebook, a man reading a newspaper.
Certainly in his West days. Anyway, Benji Marshall. I thought this was brilliant. I thought of Luke Gale straight away, and I thought, I'm going to read this out tonight. Benji Marshall. Pointed out to a pre-game message from Brisbane and England coach Wayne Bennett that helped him put in the right frame of mind. Bennett had sent him a text, go out there and be the Benji we know at the Tigers. Enjoy yourself and play footy. Why didn't he let Luke Gale play footy and go out and enjoy himself when he's playing for him for England? Amazing.
Have you finished?
Interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks for that.
Martin seems
Steve's made a great question. Great question.
Can't score you read.
Yeah.
So, you've just read him, haven't you?
Yeah. He's reading his own autobiography at the minute. He's finding it fascinating.
didn't know what he got up to.
There's a bit of the bow he's got.
Do you know what I said
the
about
top
it?
10
in the second edition, the first thing I said, well, where's pictures?
He signed. You will be pleased to know he signed it for me. So it's now paid 99p for that. It's worth 50 now.
Yeah. Well, a bit harsh. I've signed it to Richard. Enjoy the read. The legend. Me.
This guy's top 10 referee.
What do you need to tell everyone that for?
Because we like to know.
Now, Roy has said, can't you give Scully the mic from the Catlands game? Oh, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? I've got to say, I know this is kind of like, oh, you're sticking up for Sky, you're a shill. No. Technical issues are the bane of our life as broadcasters. Whenever we turn up to games, granted, not in Catalans, getting the line and getting it, that's the best thing. Forget tackling and saving a try. The best thing in life is when the lights come up on the ice at the end and you go, yes, we can work today.
I didn't see the Catalans LKR game, but by all accounts, it was poor, wasn't it?
These things happen. You know, how many years have Sky done rugby and it's been fine? There's your answer.
What would you rather have done? Watch it with no sound?
Well, I don't ask the people that question.
No, because if there'd have been no sound, they'd have moaned. So this is disgusting.
I think they did the best job they could.
Yeah, sometimes, like you said, these things happen.
What were the problems? Because I say I never saw it.
It sounded like it was done on a mobile phone that was on a speaker phone. Because they couldn't get a feed in to the caravan in Stoke, where they do it from.
things go wrong, but it was still on the telly, you could still watch the whole game.
Yeah, it does happen. It's just and they all come out and apologise. I don't think it's the people that did.
No,
the
they don't need to apologise.
They don't need to apologise to us. It's just one of those things.
Did the best they could.
Yeah, it just is what it is. Elsewhere in the world, Mike says,
whose phone's ringing just before we go any further? Oh, it's Gary's. Time to go make the tea, Gary.
Come on.
Got a job, Gary.
Sean Edwards, could you give Derek my number?
In the bin.
It's like being at school. He's had his phone confiscated.
He's had it confiscated. You want to play with it?
It's on
go
silent.
Go play with it outside.
It's on silent.
It vibrates on the desk.
Oh, sorry.
It's detention.
I didn't know that.
See me after the lesson, Schofield.
As Andy pointed out, it's like us last week.
That won't be the first time I've heard that.
like us sometimes when our cameras don't work and we have to do it off Tom's phone. You know, it's just it's one of those things. Bear with us, listener.
Yeah.
Mike was at Wigan versus Wakefield today. Music during the scrums, he said, broke the game up a bit, would be good during dropouts and injuries, perhaps, says Mike.
I only noticed it at one, and it was when Wakefield had a try disallowed, and I thought, I don't know why they've done that.
Did Bradford used to do it a lot? Or is that my imagination?
What they do, play music? What,
in during breaks?
I think I famously remember once when there was a big high kickoff went up in the air, the music blasted out about half a second before the fullback was going to catch the ball. Now, I think that was a technicality.
I was at the ice hockey yesterday, of all things, where this is kind of... You've got to have lots of...
Was there a fight?
There was a fight within about 3 minutes of the game starting. Yeah. There was also people moaning about the referees, and they have two referees and two linesmen. So think about that.
Was it a good fight?
It was all right. It was over in one punch. He got sent off for 10 minutes. It was quite funny. He waved at the crowd as he went off. It's like watching Slapshot in real life. But they have, you know, music to break up the breaks in play and keep the crowd entertained. I have to say, paid £17 for a seat. You sat down in an arena, comfy chair, action for 2.5 hours and breaks and stuff. I don't know, do we shortchange our fans? I know, obviously...
Don't tell me there were food and drink outlets and toilets around.
Yeah,
well.
I mean, they're expensive, but I know Super League is the second best...
You know when he calls it the Rodney Walker Megadome? Yeah. You mean it's going to have a roof on it, Phil? You do know that, don't you?
When you go to a Super League game, you are watching the second best rugby league competition in the world, and you are seeing some of the best rugby league players in the world, which, with due respect to Sheffield Seals and Cardiff Devils, they are not the best ice hockey players in the world. But you do feel like you're entertained for your money, and I just wonder sometimes, especially with prices in the Championship, League One, are our spectators getting value for money with A, what they're seeing on the field, but B, the facilities around them? And the answer with B would certainly be no. Would music help? I don't know. Probably doesn't suit our game, but I think we can certainly learn more about our pre-match and half-time entertainment, because there's always something going on.
I tell you as well, another thing what I'm getting fed up with, and why don't they play music as well with this, with the cheating, as we mentioned on Friday, Matt, with the dropouts and players are fading injuries.
It's easily solved. Put the shot clock
on. But why don't we?
I don't know.
Why don't we solve it?
I want to know when one of those players who's injured at a dropout has ever been subbed off the field. It has never happened.
No.
It has never happened.
And all clubs are guilty of it. It's not.
It's a blight on the game, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a blight
on the game. It's something that can easily be changed. If you had sent after 30 seconds, penalty 10 yards
out. The Aussies recognise that as a major impediment to a fast-flowing game. So they did something about it. They put a shot clock on dropouts and scrums, and they're now thinking of even extending it to goal kicks.
Well, I agree with that as well. Because the goal kicks are nearly taking 2 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's like laughable yesterday about the goal kick. They take the goal kick, and then the clock starts running. Wigan couldn't have walked. They walked slower than Scoey did that day. He had to go to the bye. It was embarrassing. It was going to take them all day. And then we've got to wait for the touch judges. Just stop the clock and say, we'll take all day, lads, if you want. Yeah, exactly. You're not making any difference.
Or, if you don't kick off within 30 seconds of the goal being awarded.
It's a penalty.
Yeah.
On halfway. Yeah. I agree with that. Maybe just a bit more, to get you interested almost. Yeah.
Well, they do in American football, don't they? Every play has a clock on it.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And every kick has a clock on it. If you haven't done something within a certain period of time, you lose the right to do it. Well, why not? Mm.
Roy says you got more value from watching Ken Dodd, which is more than true.
Exactly.
Were the Jam Butty Mines, were they underneath the old Liverpool City Stadium? Is that where they were? That's what we need to know. Mm. Marley says, I saw the new Eagles ground has a hill just like Leichhardt and the Wynn Stadium. How can the Steel City of Sheffield get any more like Wollongong, beach not included? I could have probably gone to that while I was in Sheffield, but forgot and didn't realise.
It's just a big day for them, I think, irrespective of the fact that Toronto won the game.
What crowd did they get?
850, I think. But a lot of people have worked really hard to get the game back into Sheffield.
Applauded for that.
I think by the time that legacy stadium is finished, because there's proper stands to be built and dressing rooms and all that kind of, this is a temporary measure to get them back into Sheffield, then I just hope they thrive on the back of it, because apparently Mark Aston was very emotional when he gave his speech ahead of the sponsors yesterday about what it meant.
They have done well to keep going, haven't they? In the grand scheme of it, they've done well.
Yeah, and limited opportunities to get back into the city. It didn't really work at Owleton. It wasn't conducive to to rugby. And
the one regret I think they will have is going full time. That was a really bad. I think they threw a lot of money away there that might have served them better now.
But so imagine if they had £500,000 from the RFL.
I know. There, yeah. What could you do with £500,000?
What would Swinton and Rochdale do with that?
Don't know.
They'd be above Lee.
Might be.
But they would.
But apparently Swinton and Featherstone had a bit of an ice hockey match yesterday at...
Yeah, a bit of a bad-tempered affair, yeah. Wasn't it?
Who's that?
Featherstone.
Oh, yeah, I had a mate of mine for me. It was a big Featherstone fan today, and he said, Scott, are you on the show tonight? So I said, yeah, well, what's wrong? He says, please, go on. I won't say the referee's name, he said, but he was it's the worst referee performance. Well, we all Featherstone. So I said, listen, we don't talk about referees, because if it was, it'd just go on and on and on. So we all know the stand at this moment in time is not the best, so we just don't address it.
Is it the referee or the players who act like Burks?
Well,
if they're wanting a fight,
it's a bit of both.
What can a referee do?
Yeah.
Elsewhere, on the exciting world of social media, Craig says, what do you think about us employing the golden point rule on every game?
I like the golden point.
Wouldn't have made any difference, would it? We've not had a draw yet.
Yeah, we've not had a draw. But I like the golden point.
So, I thought the Newcastle Manly game, which was settled in golden point.
Yeah, I like it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think we should bring in. I think it brings more excitement.
Such drama.
Yeah, I do. I agree.
Okay.
We need to create those moments that get on Sky Sports News for 30 seconds while they go, look at this exciting moment that happened. Because golf's on every week because there's an alligator walks across a course. So unless we can get alligators in Castleford, which I don't think is going to happen.
Where's that course? Which golf course is that with alligator? Because I'll play with Mark Wilson and I'll sling him in there. Oh. Eh? Because that's where most of his golf balls go in water when we play on a course. But he's not very good at golf, to be honest.
Alligators and kangaroos and things, which you don't have many of in Castleford. Kev.
No comeback there from Wilson
back
about his golf.
Don't need to.
Silence is golden.
If you're resorting to insulting me and you think you're being clever, then
rugby
that's more
fun.
I'm only being honest about your golf.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an interesting one, isn't it? From the two-time defending Bradford City Golf Day champion.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I won the first one for you.
Well, technically you didn't, and you weren't involved. You got dropped for the second game,
I couldn't make it.
No, you got dropped.
I couldn't make it.
No, you got dropped.
Who sank the 15-putter to get us the win? The legend. For 6 holes, you never came in. Move on.
Dave says, what is wrong with a draw?
What draw?
Well, it's an extra 10 minutes. It creates more excitement, and then if there's no more points in 10 minutes, you do get a draw, don't you?
Mm-hmm. So you can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, correct.
But sport is about winning and losing.
Absolutely.
The only thing is, though, you then get 5 minutes of absolutely terrible drop goals, which is what inevitably
but,
happens.
But that's always funny sometimes. If it's a draw in normal time, the last 5 minutes of every game is people attempting horrible drop goals.
Fair do.
The only thing that seems different in Australia is that the referees won't give penalties in golden point. They virtually allow anything, laying on, offside.
That happens in American sport as well.
For fear of giving that penalty that is going to determine the result.
I say, Phil, just talking about that Newcastle Manly game, did you see the fullback for Newcastle?
Oh, he's astonishing. Oh, there's the next great superstar.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Can he play? Oh, can he play? Quick. I've never seen feet like it.
And they paid a lot of money for him because he's only a young...
Where's he come from then?
North Queensland.
Oh, he's come from Queensland, Boy, oh boy,
Caelan Ponga.
Oh, can he play? And how tough is he?
And
put his body on the line? How quick?
And what does it say about their recruitment that they can get one of the acknowledged best youngsters in the sport to go to the team that for 3 years have been bottom of the league?
Amazing. Great player.
Rich, anything happened social media wise?
Colin says if there's no scoring golden point, reverse to the same result at 80 minutes, what's the point? Have sudden death golden point. Just goes on forever. Someone eventually will score. Vinty, more news on Ken Dodd, says the Stanley Dog track in Knotty Ash, where Liverpool City played, was closed when Dickie Mint tunnelled up the in goal area chasing a marmalade seam. The match ball from the ongoing game against Bramley is preserved at Redhall. Listeners doing the jokes.
It was an absolute genius, but I did like one of the comments on social media today that said that his funeral would take place Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Proper value for money. Nicholas says, are you gentlemen aware of the arrangement between Manchester Metropolitan University and universities in Toronto to funnel young Canadian talent to Manchester to develop as rugby league athletes while continuing their education? trying to establish a clear path up for the professional game from university, as he's done in other sports in North America. Meanwhile, Canadian Quinn Laguarte of the Wolfpack has been loaned to the Skulls, and the other fellow's gone to the Skulls.
Ryan
well.
Burrows, the USA international. Also, talking to Brian Noble for his excellent column in 4020 magazine, new one out on Friday, they are going to be doing work in schools in Canada, and the aim is to put rugby balls in the hands of kids from six upwards. So, yeah, you won't see a professional Canadian player for a while yet, but they are apparently trying their best to spread the word.
I'll tell you what, then, Brian Noble better put some rugby balls into Warrington players' hands because they can't catch them at the moment. What do you think?
Is it the
well,
time?
They can catch them, but the, only when Saints bat back.
Is the pin out the grenade, do you think?
What do you think?
Floor's yours.
What do you think? Oh, yes.
Glasses are off.
Yes, I was at the the game on Friday night, and yeah, big massive derby, and all the anticipation, weren't they? And I'd say Warrington, certain the players, again, talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And when I look at this side, and also just a couple from Steve Price from his comments regarding, you know, it's our discipline and we're still coming with errors. But, Steve, you don't do that, son. You know, you prepare them as hard as what you're doing. But if I'm honest with you, I think the players might be a little bit down because, you know, yourself a little bit less vibrancy. I think you need a bit more urgency and excitement in your own personality, if I'm honest with you, from there, to maybe get the best out of your players. But the Warrington players at this moment in time, as I said a few weeks ago, you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk, and you're just not performing realistically as you should be doing. It's them senior players, Stephen Ratchford, why you're in the England side, I don't know. Tom Lyman, average. Toby King, trying hard. Ryan Atkins, forget about your ego, son. Mitch Brown, tried hard. Kevin Brown, why you're in the England squad. Tyrone Roberts, marquee signing. I've seen better tents pitched up in Balali, if I'm honest with you. Chris Hill, not nowhere near being the leader and the captaincy. Darrell Clark deserves to be back in England. Mick Cooper tries. Murdoch Masala, well, it looks like he's been eating plenty, to be honest with you. Jack Hughes, still
why
average.
Has he been winning bets off you?
Jack Hughes. Benny Westwood, he'll always give his all. Joe Philbin's trying. Dominic Crosby, yeah, one of the better forwards. George King and Harvey Levesque, quite simply have been wasted with that talent. But it's the senior players at Warrington who are letting this club down, and I'm sick of hearing them what they're going to do and not what they're going to do. They were talking about they don't want the season to be like it was last year. Well, I can tell you now, with what I'm seeing from this Warrington side, they will get nowhere near the top four. They will struggle to make the eight, and they will be in a relegation battle. So you Warrington players, if you are looking to get your coach sacked, keep performing like that in the next three or four games. And I'm afraid to say, the way that I'm seeing Steve Price, and certainly the way that I saw him after the game and reading his comments in the programme notes, that we need to cut out the discipline, we need to make sure we don't make the schoolboy errors. When you looked at the schoolboy errors on Friday night, from three of the senior players, if I'm honest with you, yeah, I've got a five-year-old grandson now, but even my 16-month-old grandson would have been making them sort of mistakes. No pressure on them whatsoever with these sort of mistakes. So you Warrington players, again, you like the league players. You've been a disgrace to the jersey, and if you keep doing that, well, Steve Price, you'll end up losing your job.
Is that it? I don't know what you said 2 weeks ago, really. Yeah. You're not really gone overboard there.
No, but listen, at the end of the day, they're getting no better, are they? They're getting no better.
They've scored 76 points
pathetic.
In six games.
Pathetic. And they scored the two tries on Friday by kicks. They're absolutely...
And one of them shouldn't have stood.
Well, correct. They're pathetic. They're absolutely pathetic. And as I say, the four England players... Five. Darrell Clark deserves to be there. Ben Curry's injured, but his form doesn't need to be picked. Stephen Ratchford, at this moment in time, is rubbish. Kevin Brown is rubbish. And Chris Hill, well, he's a captain. Well, he's doing absolutely nothing. It's the senior players who are letting that side down. And I say, Steve, if you don't sort it out, I'm afraid to say you lose your job, because Simon Moran, he doesn't want a season like he's had last year. He doesn't want to see him struggling. And one thing for sure, the way they are going, I'll tell you what, if Catalans could have picked anybody this week who they wanted, Phil, it would have been the Warrington Wolves. The Warrington Wolves are nowhere near the top four, looking for the top eight. Boy, oh boy, the way they are going, they're in the relegation battle.
Got three fantastic games this weekend at the top, Saints and Leeds and Cass and Wigan. But at the bottom, however they manage to scramble that win, the Dragons will be relieved that they're not the only team that haven't got 2 points. Yeah. They can look at the sides above them. There are two above them that are also on two, and there are a whole host of them that are on four, one of whom is Warrington. And Catalan have been okay at home. They've been very dogged. Might not have been pretty, but they've not been too far away in all of the games that they've played. So to have Warrington come to them, where they're sitting there having just managed to scrape the points against Hull KR, I think they'll be rubbing their hands going, we know we can play a bit now. The monkey is off our back. Nobody's talking about, the only team without a win. If I was Warrington, I'd be thinking, that's not a trip that we're looking forward to at the moment, the way we're playing.
I think they're going in the bottom four.
Oh, Mark, they are going in the bottom four, and as I say, Young Patton, even last year with Young Patton, we know he's suspended now for 5 games, which is a little bit harsh as far as I was concerned, but they brought in Tyrone Roberts. Well, Tyrone Roberts, even at Newcastle, and then he was at the Gold Coast, wasn't he? He was rubbish there. He was absolute rubbish there. And at this moment in time, and I'm not buying into the scenario that it takes time. If you are a quality player, it does not take you time. And when I was watching him on Friday, the confusion or the lack of communication between him and Brown is there for everybody to see. He's greedy with the ball, he doesn't pass the ball, and his organisation at this moment in time is a massive letdown. Exactly what Tyler Roberts is for Warrington is a huge letdown.
I think a couple of times as well he shot the line, didn't they? They targeted him in defence anyway to tire him out.
Which is a good ploy by the side because it ties him out, so, you know, the thought process gets a little bit down.
A couple of times he was the one that was moving ahead of the others and leaving gaps for St Helens to exploit, but I don't think he's had much of a pre-season. I don't think he's even fully fit at the moment, but I think there is a question that you can only maybe judge this with hindsight. Newcastle finished bottom of the league for the last 3 years. They change a lot of their personnel, including the halfbacks. They go and buy a couple of the best youngsters that are around. Suddenly, they make a fantastic start to the season. And the guy that who is surplus to requirements that's come over here hasn't yet settled in. Do we do enough due diligence on the players that we bring over?
No, we don't. No, because do you know what makes me laugh? When we sign somebody from the NRL, right, and a so-called big name, it makes me laugh when you get the bit of a headline what he's made under an 89 NRL appearances, so he must be a good, great player. What an absolute load of tosh. What a load of tosh. And at the end of the day, all this time Robert's doing is stopping the development of Declan Patton. That's what's happening there.
The other interesting thing, and it's no detriment to Steve Price, because we don't know what sort of a job he's going to do. I think it's hard to judge a coach on 6 games, but one of the others in the frame for the job, and I think he had family reasons why he wanted to stay in Australia, was Garth Brennan. He made a pretty decent start at the Gold Coast this week.
I don't know if you've seen the press as well, and you look at Price's body language. Well, one thing for sure, I guess his body language is like that because he's very
frustration
and very disappointed with the attitude of the Warrington players, and it's the senior players who were letting Warrington down badly. To me, they're all in the comfort zone. They're all in the comfort zone, they're talking the talk and they're not walking the walk.
I can, whether it's fair or not, only compare them to Leeds, who in 2016 had the same season that Warrington had in 2017, but used the off-season to say, we're not going to be put in this position again. Warrington looked like a team that are still frightened about what happened last season.
We know what happened with Leeds last year. When we got walloped by Cass, it was embarrassing. We know exactly what Gary did and came out with that comment. We'll see what happens in a month. But what the... But what happened was the players took responsibility their own performances.
I think they also took on board what had happened the year before and were absolutely determined not to be in that situation.
Right, okay.
Are we seeing that from Warrington yet?
No. Well, what I'm saying is here, what the Leeds players did after that Castleford game, it didn't matter what Gary was saying. It didn't matter what Matt Dermott was saying. The players themselves, and I would imagine all the senior players, they took it on board and said, listen, as individuals, we are better players than this. As a team collectively, we are far better than this. And they sorted it out themselves.
And we're not going to go through again.
Absolutely.
So that's remember that horrible feeling we had?
Nothing to do with the chief executive letter going out. It's nothing
can
to
you
do with
see
the
that happening at Warrington? Do you think they've got that spirit saying we're not going to be in that situation again?
I can't, because they're in love with themselves. Their ego's exactly the same as what it is in the Leeds dressing room, and they are a disgrace to that Warrington jersey.
Maybe Warrington and Lee should merge or something, I don't know. Warrington are boring in attack, says Ashley. What attack, says Andy. Nana says they're playing negative rugby.
They are.
They're rubbish. They're absolutely rubbish, and as I say, but the players have to start taking responsibility. And I say, Phil goes on with Leeds, and after we know what happened when they got walloped down at the Jungle last year, the players took the responsibility of saying, hey, listen, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. We're far better as a team, individuals, far better as a team when we play as a team collectively, and they sort it out, and we all know exactly what happened. But these Warrington players, they're in the comfort zone. They're not walking the walk, and they're a disgrace to that shirt.
Well, if they do lose, they will be in the bottom four.
I've asked a question on social media. Coming off the back of the England squads announced last Wednesday, which was all very exciting. Got ready for this thing. Came on the Owl League app and everything. So read it off there, or the email came through. 21 players in the England elite performance squad selected by the England selectors. One of them not in there is Sam Tompkins. Now, I know he's a very divisive figure. Perhaps he's not as good as the hype at the start of his career suggests he may be, but he's still a very good rugby league player, and surely he must be one of the best 21 English qualified players. And bearing in mind, there's no non-English people in that squad who would have gone there. Should be in that squad.
Should have gone to the World Cup. I think he's a better player now than when he left. He's a different player now than when he left. He's probably not got quite that... The electric speed that he had. But I saw him yesterday live and up close. So he had another really good game. He's got his ball on his hands on the ball. He's creating. He's causing problems.
He seems hungry again, doesn't he?
Yeah. We watched on Thursday Jamie Shaw. A lot of people clamouring for Jamie Shaw to be in the England side. For me, not good enough. Able to run fast.
He's not an international player, but as I say with Sam, how Sam's not in front of Stefan Radford, well, all he knows. And when I've seen that squad picked, it seems to me with some players, it's harder to get out of that squad than for some players to get in. But I'm just thinking here with Sam Tompkins, there's got to be different reasons why he's not being picked, because Kevin Sinfield himself has said in the League Express the door's not closed for anybody and the players will be picked on form. Well, the way Sam Tompkins is playing, surely his form is far better than what Stefan Radford's in. So Sam Tompkins should be in that squad on form. So I'm thinking me now, the reason why he's not picked, because they're trying to build this so-called culture.
DNA.
Everybody
DNA.
Gets on. The dressing room has got to be all nice and pampered and hunky-dory. I reckon the reason why he's not being picked is, I don't know this about Sam, because I've never been in a Wigan dressing room, I've never been around him, but is it the case where, but also all of the players are from Super League clubs, Peacock's played against him, Sinfield's played against him, they'll know what sort of character he is. Do they feel as though around the dressing room, around the environment, what they are trying to create, they don't want him because he may be with his own bit of an ego, because we've all got our own egos, even us four guys have got our own egos, but is Sam Tompkins being not, is he not being selected for their own reasons? And I'm seeing that because on form, Sam Tompkins should be in that England squad.
Played a lot more time at fullback as well, didn't he, yesterday? They didn't
he's hungry as well, Phil, isn't
take the
he's
option
hungry.
Of moving him up to standoff, because that was one of the thoughts, that he wasn't going to play all 80 minutes at fullback. He was going to be half of it at least in the halves, but apparently he is now
Esker Hill, yesterday, pretty lively ball
in the halves.
Yeah, he did. So look, for me, he'd be in, absolutely no doubt. Tompkins,
I think we missed him at the last World Cup,
but as I say, this is what's telling me he's being left out. Not because of his form, he's being left out for some other reasons.
Is it because of the way his career went in the NRL? Could that be a factor on Mr. Bennett?
Maybe. But at the end of the day, we've got his own director, Rupi Sain, now, and Kevin's a big part of this England setup now. He seems to be one of the main people who's picking the side and advising Mr. Bennett, because he doesn't watch Super League, as we all know. So he made me laugh last week when he said, yeah, the EPS has been unbelievable. Well, how do you know that? You're not over here to watch it. You're not over here to be in the team meetings, you know. So
the Skype press conference we had with him?
That made me chuckle a little bit, didn't it? But what I'm saying is here now, Kevin has said, the door is not closed. You are selected on form. Well, I'll tell you, if you put it out there now, Tompkins or Ratchford, it'll be 100% Tompkins, Ratchford, zero.
The night squad is supposedly the younger players, isn't it?
I think it's just giving people a chance of international experience, the majority of whom are young and they're looking to 2021 or for even some of them 2025. So there is a sense of the pathway that, I hate the word DNA, but
but that's what we're going with.
But that's what we're going with. But we said it when we heard the squad announced. You know, when are these guys going to play? It's fine getting them together twice before the international break, twice after the international break, and the squad's going to train together so they can all get to know each other.
There's going to be 45 of them training.
Who are they going to play? Well, exactly. We know England's schedule. We know the next four games that the full England team are going to play. They're going to be sick of the sight of New Zealand. But we know that they're playing. Who are the Knights playing?
But also as well, I've read Paul Anderson's piece as well in the League Express and saying, yeah, it looks like we may be playing in the European Championship. That's no good for us. Because we are not playing against any better quality, because the England Knights will be playing Wales, Scotland, Ireland. They're still the same quality in Super League. We need to get these players. They're talking again about a different environment. We're talking about going to a different culture, talk about going on tour. You know, we need to be playing opposition like the Tonga, because they're a different test. Papua New Guinea, going to Papua New Guinea, it's a different test, a different quality. Same against Fiji, same against Samoa. We need to get away from playing against his own players, because they all know the quality of what they've got. We need to go and test ourselves against different opposition.
I think there's two issues. One is that the other nations in the European Championship don't want to be seen to be playing England Knights. They want to play England. Because it's very hard to market the fact that you're playing a second string England team. So if you're Ireland, with all the pack that they've got, absolutely, they don't want to be playing England Knights.
Correct.
They want England. And if you were to play the Ireland that played in the World Cup against the England that played in the World Cup in Dublin, you've got a marketable product there.
Absolutely.
But you can't sell to people who are not familiar with rugby league the fact that England Knights isn't a second choice England. I think you're absolutely right that they should be going to the Pacific, but where's the money from the World Cup?
Exactly.
You know, England are saying it's going to be budget-led. You know, Kevin Sinfield is saying we'd love to be touring Tonga and Fiji and Papua New Guinea.
That's where we need to be going for.
Where's the money?
That's where we need to be going.
Interesting.
But also, let me just add as well, Ewan Richardson should be in that senior squad now.
Yeah, well, By the time
the international comes around in mid-season, if anybody's got injuries, I can see him being drafted into it or being taken along for the experience, his first experience of being away from home in an international environment, if he doesn't play.
On form, he's the best number seven. He should be in the squad.
Maybe we should give Eddie Hearn the internationals to sell. Because we didn't sell out last time, did we?
They're saleable products because they won't have television contracts attached to them at the moment. But I suspect England will want to live stream to test that market. Now, if they're clever, they'll do it on our league and not charge for it, so you become a member and...
Yeah.
But for the home series against New Zealand, has the TV deal been done for that? I assume I know where it's going to be.
I think it's
been announced that it's BBC, yeah.
Lovely. Sit back and count the cash.
Not saying anything.
Well, the test
not allowed to say anything. I'm not allowed to say anything, so I'm not saying
Move on.
There's a thaw between the two sides, anyway. We're all friends with the BBC now, me and Mark. We love them.
Never said it then.
No?
Is there anything from the Warrington fans, which are they green or are they disagreeing?
They're all agreeing.
Yeah. You've beaten them in the summer.
Mark says, not sure about what McShane and Milner have done to get into, or not done to get into the England Knights squad, let alone the main squad. Knight saying, if it's on form, why no McShane in any squad? Read a great debate on a forum this week saying, wait, if you've got the better end of the deal, when Paul McShane went to Castleford and another player left Castleford to go to Wakefield. But there you go. Paul McShane, apparently, according to some Wakefield fans, doesn't have the bottle for a fight.
He's a banal lad. He has a bottle, don't worry about that. And he don't mind the scrap, I can tell you. Don't worry about that.
Is he just unfortunate that he's got James Roby and Darrell Clark in front
of him? And Josh Hodgson as well.
Hold on. I know you said Darrell Clark's doing all right, getting back to his best.
He's getting back to something like Matt, yeah.
But he hasn't been for last...
I agree, last 3 years. Yeah, last 2 years under Tony Smith.
So is he getting picked on past performances?
Well, but also as well, let's not forget here... In this 21-man squad, the NRL players aren't there, but they're going to come into the test match in Denver. So five or six of the guys who are playing are going to be booted out, aren't they? You know, because what will he take, 24, will he? So the Burgess boys will come in. Apart, is George playing all right? But anyway, the two Burgess boys will come in. Widdop will come in. Who else?
James Graham
will come in there.
Elliot Whitehead.
Elliot Whitehead will come in there, so that's five or six already. You know, because of the reputation in NRL, Bennett will pick him.
Saying that, Widdop played well. I did watch some.
He was very, very good.
Widdop should be picked.
Graham was fantastic.
James Graham is. You know, but hey, let me just tell you this as well.
But South's are struggling.
Yeah, but when we talk about Sentellans have found a new James Graham in Luke Thompson. He should be in that squad as well, in the senior squad. They have found the next James Graham.
But the good thing is he's in the Knights squad, and it gives him his first taste of going from club to international level. There is a that stepping stone.
Well, it will do when he plays a game.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah, there is that small matter.
But Kevin Sinfield has assured us we'll be very excited when we hear who the Knights are playing.
Yeah.
On a press release.
But no press conference.
No press conference.
Paul Anderson, what do you think, Arnold?
Yeah. Move on.
Even pundits on Fox Australia, says Martin, have been bemoaning not following up on the success of the World Cup. Bit shot they gave a toss with the NRL kicking off. Oh, to be harsh, Martin.
What about the doubleheader, though, in Perth?
In Perth?
40,000 fans turned up nearly.
Isn't that a lesson we can learn? You know, our opening fixture, have a doubleheader, Saints and Wigan, Leeds and Cass, doubleheader somewhere.
The only problem is, you're in the football season, it's freezing cold.
Well, we'll start the first
and it'll be on the telly.
No, but we start there as Phil keeps going, and we start the season.
We did late. Used to start. Did the Millennium Magic not used to start the season?
We did it once.
Once it was in Wales, wasn't it? I remember. Yeah.
You know, that's a great idea. You know, and the fans. What they get? 38,000, 40,000.
Anyway, we've got the new structure been leaked. Anyway. It's going to be two divisions of 10, 27 fixtures, semi-finals, promotion and relegation, one up, one down between the two. Who's deciding who the 20 teams are?
Wasn't this the one that was in the Sun?
Well, is that right, is it? Is that what it's going to be?
It's on the table. The new Super League chief executive will drive it.
What, the bus?
No, the proposal.
Oh, right, OK.
When he arrives.
He or she?
No, it's he. When he arrives from Everton.
Sam Allardyce. Jeez. Dave says, I think the RFL missed a trick by not having a four-team series at the end of the year. England, New Zealand, England Knights and the Pacific Island Nation playing as doubleheaders with the same pay reward regardless of who you play.
Fair point.
I think it's important that New Zealand play France. That's going to take... they're going to have at least one, possibly two games in France. I think it's important that France get to keep their international window open as well.
Phil, why? France are rubbish.
Well, they've got a lot of Toulouse players they can pick now instead of Catalan.
Well, yeah, look, Catalan players, they're all Aussies and foreigners, aren't they?
Not all France, no. England ain't going to sell any tickets in England.
But France, New Zealand in France.
Yeah,
the French have been magnificent supporters of International Rugby League. However, the domestic clubs are playing. You know, even when England went over there, there were, 14,000 in Avignon? The World Cup, when the groups were over there, the highest crowds were in France. So if you stage France against New Zealand,
that's a
way of generating revenue for the French Federation. And it will be competitive, because you know that test matches in France are completely different to when they travelled over here.
Yeah, well, the different players nowadays, in our day, the stamp on you, the spit at you and everything, they're not allowed to get away with that, are they?
But the passion of the fans...
Sounds like a night out in Belle Isle, that legend.
It's not a night out, it's a dinner time session. It's a dinner time session that happens.
But there is something about French players playing on French soil. They are a different beast.
But as Mark mentioned there, but even England Knights, they can't play France because they're not going to learn anything, are they? They're not going to learn anything. So it's going to be a very interesting one, what fixes they come up with England Knights, isn't it?
Where are the test matches again? Anfield Hull.
Allen Road, isn't it? And Anfield, Got to sell them all out. Got to sell them all out.
Yeah. So if we can't sell Hull out, 25,000, then it's time we give up.
But we keep being told of those historic links. Hull and New Zealand. Put your money where your mouth is, chaps.
Yeah,
and
agreed. Agreed.
Otherwise, we'll take it to Coventry or somewhere else, and you'll go and moan, oh, why is the game in Coventry and not in Hull? And we'll go, because you didn't go. It's not difficult, is it?
No.
It's not difficult.
But we also need Scotland playing again, where 8,000 people will turn up in Workington to watch Scotland. What are we doing for those 8,000 people?
Send the Knights to Workington.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you send the Knights up there, they'll get a sell-out because they want to see quality rugby league, they want to see the best players.
Well, how about England Knights playing Cumbria?
Well, that'd be a good game. They'll get ripped in the Cumbrians. Boy, oh boy, will they get. Well, last time they played England, it was 18 apiece at Whitehaven.
Why not?
Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah.
It's a need a game, and we're worrying initially about the cost of sending them to Papua New Guinea.
Get a sellout.
Send them up to Cumbria.
It'll be a different environment, different pressure for them. Because I say the Cumbrians take real pride in that jersey. Without a doubt. And the coach is Paul Cleary. Next league coach.
Raise some money for a worthy cause.
Correct. Yeah. The Cumbrians will turn out.
Mm.
They will turn out.
If the Knights do go on tour somewhere, could they play a farewell fixture against a Celtic Nation Select 13 somewhere? Perhaps working tonight, don't they?
Sorry, what about ideas? Sending Ireland over to Denver and playing a game as well, having a double header. So maybe USA against Ireland?
Maybe.
Big expat Irish community.
Ireland should be playing USA this weekend, shouldn't they, in Boston?
Hmm.
Hey, listen, fellas, let us not start coming up with great ideas and selling the game and coming up with an international calendar, because we know they won't listen. They won't take the advice, will they?
But if it's not us coming up with the ideas, it is, of course, your broadcast colleague, the good Dr. Marwan Kukash, who thinks we should have the big Cumbrian mega Super League team.
The Lakers.
The Cumbrian Maras.
Lakers, yeah. He says.
Windermere Lakers, he says. Yeah. Windermere Lakers. I'll put my hand up to be part of his club if he wants.
Just laughed. Just laughed. Scully after Josh Shock.
He just laughed, didn't he, Phil?
Yeah. Yeah. Gave you very short shrift.
That's a bit of a stare there, Mr. Wilson. Why are you staring like that at me when I just said I'll make myself available?
No. I'm just wondering why Dr. Kukash is given all this.
It seems serious.
Seems serious at Salford, but he made an absolute.
Do you think he's the Nigel Farage of rugby league?
It's a bit harsh on Dr. Kukash.
Yeah, come on, I think you chuck him under a bus there, Phil. I think he's got to prove himself personally, and I'd say that to him. No issue with that.
I think if you're working behind the scenes with a potential new facility with a big major sponsor, and you've got the buy-in of the existing clubs up there, then make an announcement. But don't just go public and say, I'd like to do this. I'd like to play for Great Britain, but it ain't going to happen.
People generally that do go and get it done with it, and then they tell you about it when it's done. They don't tell you what they're going to do. Oh, well, we can't do it now. You know, it'd been great, I'd have done this, I'd have done that. He was going to buy the Bulls, he never did he? I just don't... Personally, I don't know. The jury's out, I think, on him.
And the interesting thing that he said also was that he would have 90% Cumbrian players because it's important that you don't go and buy the stars. You know? And you go, I'm thinking, that's not how you do it. Surely. You've gone by
watch
the stars.
Watch this space, or listen to this space, eh? Watch this and listen to this space about Lakers. Mr. Kukash.
So all the Barrow and Whitehaven and working supporters are expected to... Or the Cumbrian Lakers going to play on a Friday night in Carlisle?
They'll be just feeding
Brunton Park.
What I don't understand is there are a lot of people that are making... Let's just say there are going to be 20 full-time professional clubs, possibly in two divisions of 10. Who is going to make the decision? Will it include New York? Will it include Boston? Will it include the Cumbria Lakers? Will it include Newcastle, York? What is the blueprint that Bradford, London? What is the blueprint that we're working on?
Well, how long are you going to give these teams to prepare themselves to become fully professional?
Exactly. But also, where are the players going to come from? We talk about quality now. We talk about quality week in and week out. We're not seeing that quality at this moment in time, I'd say, in Super League or any rugby league what's being played. So where are we going to get the players from?
The first thing you would have to do is relinquish the salary cap. Because if an investor in a place like New York is serious in putting out a competitive team in a top-flight division, he's got to be able to say, right, I'm going to buy Billy Slater.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, he couldn't.
Yeah. So he could, he's a marquee player.
But, all right, I'm going to buy 6 Billy Slaters.
You could buy 2.
The piece of the jigsaw are all being made in different places, and we don't know what the picture is on the lid. It doesn't work.
Well, this is the big elephant in the room, isn't it? Yeah. No one knows what's going to happen.
And this is where this is the other thing.
When poor journalists, there's this automatic assumption, right, that Nigel Wood's gone. Great, Nigel's gone. The Super League are going to take over now. There is no guarantee. Let's just put this out there. There's no guarantee it'll be any better. No guarantee at all.
The chief executive of Super League is somebody that they are hoping will be able to deliver on this, who has the experience and a knowledge and background of rugby league.
All right, so who are you saying? Robert Elston?
Mm.
He's going to leave Everton, is he?
He's leaving Everton.
Oh, he's leaving. Is that official?
I think Bill Kenwright has sold the remaining shares to his Thai consortium, and part of the deal is that the two executives, one of whom is Rob, will be leaving.
Fair enough, then.
And I think the Super League clubs themselves have decided that he is the man.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Just drop that in with 10 minutes left, Phil.
Well,
done.
You can read it in the new 40/20 magazine out on Friday.
All right. That's so how you sell these.
What will he bring in? What's his forte?
The interesting thing was he's an accountant by trade. He's a director at Deloitte's.
Right.
But he also was one of the people that bought in the Scottish Premier League.
Well, there's only
Scottish football is not dissimilar.
You're not selling this to me, Phil.
Saying it's on his CV.
He's
an executive at the RFL when Super League was announced. Worked with Mr. Jepson in Paris in 1997.
So they lasted long.
Huge Castleford.
Are you trying to not get him this job, Phil?
No, I'm just telling you what his background is. I'm not his cheerleader, I'm just telling you what his background is.
I fear invoking this name will cause rage among people. Rugby League needs someone like Maurice Lindsay to run it, doesn't it? A charismatic leader who will make decisions that may not necessarily be popular.
Twitter blocking going mad now.
I'm not saying Maurice Lindsay, I'm saying someone like him.
Richie's going to go mad.
Well, we either have someone who just sits there and gets run over by the clubs or whatever, or is perceived as a weak leader, or we have someone who is a strong leader who may make decisions which they believe are right. I guess it's like a politician.
Yeah,
I guess it's like a prime minister.
Morris, he was a charismatic character and he'd get things done and get things said.
Did he pay your 20 grand, Scotty?
You was.
That's the closest you've come to swearing on air.
But the thing, and it's the same as what Mr. Lennigan is. He'll all just care less about his own club. That was a big problem, the big situation.
Someone in that's not affiliated to a club.
Well,
then.
hopefully, he won't get people won't want him in their pockets, which unfortunately has happened with rugby league over many, many years.
I think having dealt at the top of the Premier League with a club that has not had the same resource as some of the bigger names, I think that's been involved in broadcasting debate about where that's going. He does have all the skills that we need, but
will he be allowed to do what he wants to?
Well, or will it be will it be cutting adrift?
What he wants to bring to the game? Will he be allowed?
Will
to
it
do that?
Only be based around 20 clubs? What happens to those beneath? And who decides who those 20 clubs are? And when is this going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. When's it going to happen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon, surely, isn't it?
They're going to have to do something relatively soon.
So we're talking about the season 2020 now,
aren't you? I'd be very surprised if you can do anything for 2019 now. Right. I think you've got to go with the eights and promotion relegation, the £1 million game, as it is.
I think if we're doing anything in
2020, you've got to announce it now.
Mm. Yeah. But I think teams need to be told when the deadline is, if you want to be
what the criteria are, when we're making decisions on the expansion clubs and who is making that decision.
Yeah.
Just throwing hand grenades, like saying Maurice Lindsay's name with 10 minutes to go before the end of the programme.
No problem.
Rob has sent us a try from Jack Sanderson of Doncaster. Basically, Whitehaven have a kick a goal, it comes off the post. Richard Owen, good to see him back in action. Little chip forward, Sanderson picks it up, runs the length for Doncaster. If only there was a way of showcasing these tries to the public at large.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Like a collective effort.
Even Doncaster, it's a legend playing without vision and awareness. Even Doncaster,
collective
doing it.
Effort.
Yeah, indeed.
So, how many times have you contacted the RFL about that?
Oh, dozens.
Are we doing the predictions? Are we in with the predictions?
Yeah. Phil, I need to borrow your pen, sir.
Yeah,
I will. I'll bring an updated league table next week. I've got all these bits of paper at home. I just haven't collated them.
As someone pointed out to me on social media yesterday, the Super League official Instagram tweeted out the wrong league table from last week, from this week.
Thursday, Huddersfield against Hull Cairns live on Proper Sport.
Yeah, the Giants, a great win. Witness well, surprising for everybody, was it really? And the confidence what they'll take from there. Hulkerson Rovers are pretty poor. Don't travel well. I'm going the Giants by 14.
Tough on Hull KR, asking them to come back from France and play on the Thursday, I think. I suspect will count against them. I just, again, don't think they've got enough bodies that they can call on at the moment. Sean Lunt looks like he's going to be out for a little while, which is a real blow for them. So I'll go with, if the Giants can't build on the back of that great win at Widnes, then they're not going to have a good season. So I think they'll win.
It will be the Giants, somehow.
Giants by 24. For me, Salford Hull.
Yeah, well, Salford are in a mess, aren't they? In a mess. No good for the dressing room. No good for the spirit. Feel sorry for Watson. Hull want to get back on the horse. Yeah, I think it's quite comfortable for Hull. I'm going Hull by 16.
Right. Salford were pretty dogged in the second half against Castleford. I think the game had already gone by then, but they must really just be undermining everything they're doing at the moment by not knowing who's going to be at the club in the foreseeable future. So I think Hull do need to win. You know, only 2 out of 5. They were a lot of good young talent in their team on Thursday that they'll take encouragement from. So I'll go Hull.
Okay.
Boringly, it's Hull.
Yeah. Well, it is for me too. Right, moving on. Also on Friday on Proper Sports, St Helens Leeds.
Yeah, St Helens just, well, they're just keeping rolling and rolling, playing far too good. Biggest fix of the season, isn't it? Always a decent game, you'd say, but St Helens far too much quality. St Helens by 16.
I'm really looking forward to this one. Two teams that play the right way, rarely have a poor game between them. I do think St Helens have got too much at the moment. Settled team, key players playing well. I think it'd be closer than that, but I do think St Helens will win.
I'm looking forward to hearing when the Saints go marching in over and over and over again on Friday.
Oh,
Saints.
Richie,
put Leeds in the sword.
Typical Wakefield fan.
Yeah, we all hate Leeds. Saints.
He won't go Leeds.
Yeah. Well, I think Leeds will win. Because I think just defensively, I think this will be something St Helens haven't had to face. Leeds will. I just don't know. I think it'd be tight. I can see it being something like 14-12, something like that. Maybe even 10-8. Honestly, I think it'd be really tight. St Helens, people said, oh, Wake have only played Catalan, Salford, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all the teams that St Helens have played. This is their biggest test. I think Leeds will win.
You've been on the syrup?
Nope.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good game.
Yeah, I've got to go quick. Catalan Warrington.
Yeah, Warrington are shambles. They're rubbish. Catalans, yeah, confidence boost against Hulkish Rovers. They're at home. Catalans by 10.
I think Catalan will edge it, and there'll be crisis at Warrington.
Home win,
yeah, can't disagree. Wakefield Widnes, Saturday 6:30.
Yeah, well, Wakefield, I say, after, you know, I guess I would have been disappointed losing to Wigan, but Wigan are a good side. If anybody you could have picked as a game after, they would have picked a team like Widnes. Yeah, Wakefield, I think, for me, too strong, playing pretty well. Wakefield by 16.
Test of a good team is how you bounce back from defeat, and I think Wakefield will prove they are a good team by bouncing back from defeat.
5 from 6.
Yeah, which is what I said at the start. Looking at the fixtures that have been disappointed with anything else, I think Wakefield win quite comfortably. Wakefield by 24 for me. And Cass Wigan.
Yeah, big one, not just because of the two clubs itself, but between the two coaches, different philosophies. But I think Wigan are just playing too well. Cass at this moment in time, still not the polished performances that Darrell's getting. I'm going Wigan by 8.
I think if Ollie Holmes gets a ban, that puts the ball more firmly in the Wigan club.
I don't think he'll be here tomorrow.
No, I don't think he'll be here.
I don't think he'll be doing his show tomorrow.
He's doing it live from the car park at Redhall.
Yeah, a bit like in America where they film the trial.
Can you just hold on a minute? I've just got to give me defence. Yeah. I think Cass will win.
Do you?
Yes.
Jai will be here. Don't panic. You can talk about chip shops. Wigan.
I'll go Cass. Don't know, I genuinely don't know about that.
No, I don't.
That could happen there.
Cass's season starts this week.
Interesting.
Nicholas has asked us to predict the league game against Batley, but I don't think we've got much time, have we?
Well, we've got enough time.
Challenge Cup, isn't it?
Where's it at, Batley?
Batley.
Yeah, but Batley, I'll tell you what, they'll batter Lee.
Well, they were battered themselves, though, this week.
No, listen, but it's a Challenge Cup. The league players won't want to come to Batley. The small dressing room's a big slope. If Batley are going to put a performance in, it'll be this week. Disco will have a revved up. I'm going to go Batley to beat Lee by 12.
Phil?
I think Lee's season will turn around at some stage. I just don't think they can be distracted by the Challenge Cup, so I'm going to go Batley.
Lee.
I'm with you. I think the players, all the emphasis is on the top four.
They don't want to be in a cup run.
With a cup, yeah, that's it. Good stuff. Don't forget, live Thursday, Giants Hull KR. Friday, it's St Helens against Leeds. Legend, thanks as ever.
Pleasure.
I look forward to reading your book, your annual, Teaching Me How to Tackle. Phil, thanks as ever. Magazine now, Friday. Good luck with that one. And Richard, thanks as ever. We will be back Thursday with live rugby league, the Giants, Hull KR. You free Thursday, legend?
Are you, I am indeed,
you got a lot of field Giants?
Well, I'm free all weekend. I'm free Thursday, Friday, Sunday. I'm free.
Are you?
I'm free.
Is that one of the grounds you can get in?
Possibly. I don't know. And actually, I've just realised I don't know how to work this machine, so I don't know if the news is going to play. So that really could be a problem. But that's us done. Hopefully the news will be on around about now. See you later.